Welcome to Notcast, episode 144, The Dating Game.
Come on down.
Oh my. That happens after dinner in a movie.
Oh my.
Go on down. You're the next contestant on My Cock.
I'm your host, Saverin Drake.
I am also your host, Fuzzball.
Am I a host?
Yes.
No, you're Vanna.
They can't see me spin, though.
I imagine such cats would have very odd
now I'm imagining that meat spin, Jeff.
Don't.
And I'm Shiva, who's apparently also a host.
Yay! poor Recky. He's been exiled to the lands of Houstonia for vile crimes against pony kind. I don't know. No, he's had some unfortunate business pop up with his job, and so he's out of town.
That metaphor sucks. Just completely got away from you.
Yes. So he is out of town, and hopefully will be around for maybe next week's show. Who knows?
So long as the job stops making him travel on Thursdays.
Who knows?
So I have to be back in town to do my dirty podcast.
I know, right?
So I got something that I wanted to do.
Okay.
So, a very important person who you will not know died last week at the age of 87. On June 7th, Leonard Stern died. Have you guys heard of this?
No.
Leonard Stern is the co-creator of Mad Libs.
Ah, yes.
So I thought in honor of Leonard Stern, we would bring back our little thing that we were going to do occasionally and do a Mad Lib on the air.
Wait. Okay.
God. There's nothing good coming of this.
Let me pick one. Okay. All right, guys. So I'm going to start. I'm just going to get you two. We'll start with Shiva and we'll bounce back and forth.
Okay.
Okay. So Shiva, I need a number.
4.
Okay. There's a bunch of numbers here. Saverin, another number.
25.
And I have to use the alt button. Never mind. Shiva, third number.
69.
Fuck yeah. Okay. Saverin, animal, plural.
Pangolins.
I don't know how to spell that, but good enough. Shiva, a verb?
Barked.
Bark. Okay. Saverin, noun?
Pony.
Pony?
Pony.
Pony. Shiva, a body part?
Penis.
Of course. Saverin, a country?
Bolivia.
Okay. Shiva, a number?
Another one?
Yeah.
I'm running out of numbers.
There's a couple more here.
6.
Okay. Saverin, another number?
420.
420.
Hitler's birthday.
Oh, man. I thought of pot. You went right to Hitler. Holy shit. Okay. Shiva, a person's name?
Bob.
I was going to go with Hitler. Saverin, a body part.
Wing.
Okay. Make my Mad Lib. Okay. 3 things to tell your loved ones. There are just 4 questions out of 25 to tell your loved one. 1. If you loved me, you would know that I have 69 pangolins and that I bark at them every day. 2. I need to eat a pony every other day for a year until my penis falls off.
They are made of marshmallow.
3. And last but not least, you need to know that I want to own Bolivia within the next 6 months, and I will pay no more than $420 for it. And if I can't get it for that, I want you to tell Bob that he can have my wing.
Would have been penis. It would have been better.
So I did one earlier that I was going to, I think turned out pretty funny. Because I was just making sure that it still worked. Okay. So this one was one that I did just myself trying it out. A quiz to take before leaving home. just like a checklist to make sure you've done these things. Number one, have you filled your car with cum? Two, do you have the reservations for your room at the Skull? Three, are you taking your pet fox in the car? If so, do you have plenty of fox chow for him? And ask for an animal. Did you remember to pack all of your toilet articles, such as your taint brush and your scrotum paste and your heavy lotion? Five, did you bring your tennis balls, your competitive ass-fucking racket, and those slippery athletic shoes? So it asked for a sport, and I entered competitive ass-fucking. Six, have you got a map that shows all of the round roads and the places that serve fries and have nice, clean, sticky rooms? Seven, did you remember to bring your Nigistan traveling checks and plenty of money in small blimps? It asked for a country. I went with one of the Stan family of nations.
Where Bucktown's from?
Yeah. Eight, did you remember to turn off the phone and the desk in the house? If you answered zoinks to these questions, you can leave at once.
Zoinks.
So, yeah, I figured since we hadn't done that in a while, I'd go ahead and bring forth the magic.
Bring it back.
Something. Yeah. We're taking it back.
Yep. All right. So let us go forth to our massive pile of emails that we have, because holy crap, it's been 2 weeks, and it's like, can't go more than 2 weeks without doing a show, or we're going to be just completely inundated.
Mm. So, drowned in emails. And shit, yo.
And you know, shit.
Dying by paper cuts would be most unpleasant.
It would indeed.
Well, if we still printed the emails.
Oh, iPad cuts. I guess I could cut myself on that case. It's got a little nick on it.
Yeah. So, hey, first email of the night. Insert clever subject line here. Dear patrons of the Knotted Arts, I know this episode has become open topic, but I wanted to chime in on the subject you'd originally planned, dating sites, and more specifically those that cater to a more narrow audience like Pounced. I don't necessarily think that targeting a specific demographic or interest is a bad thing in and of itself. After all, you want to have something in common with your prospective mate, right? The problem, I believe, comes from when you try to rely too much on this. Yes, finding someone who shares your interest is great, particularly with something like furry that tends to be viewed rather critically by many outside the fandom. Having a furry partner is definitely nice and eliminates many potential concerns there, but you shouldn't limit yourself to just furs either. Think of Pounce as a gadget in Batman's utility belt, something immensely helpful but part of a larger kit, rather than an all-in-one fix like a sonic screwdriver. On that same note, people have had a bad habit of thinking that just because you're both furry, that's automatically enough. There are plenty of people I know who have never become more than online acquaintances, and some I wish I'd never contacted at all, simply because we had absolutely nothing in common beyond the fandom. More importantly, though, dating sites in general tend to be a bad idea. I firmly believe that one of the worst things you can do to yourself is to go looking specifically for a relationship. Such a search ends in disappointment at best, and at worst, can lead to a codependent mess of a relationship that eventually crashes and burns, breaking two hearts in the process.
Or four if you're Time Lords.
Exactly. Any good relationship starts out as a good friendship. Go looking for friends and nothing beyond that. If the friendship eventually turns into something more, cool. And if not, there are far worse things to have than a good friend, good and lasting friendship. For all the potential pitfalls of Pounced, and of dating sites in general, they can be useful if used correctly. Case in point, I did meet my mate on Pounced. We were both looking for friends and started chatting on IM. He was semi-local, about an hour's drive in a city I drove to anyway for college, so we decided to meet and hang out. It went well enough, then we started making a regular thing of it. Eventually, our visits started including adult activities, and him staying overnight at my place.
Oh, yeah.
One day, I got one of those silly questionnaire chain mails from him, and one of the things it asked was for two things you want very badly at the moment. His answers were, my foxy and a mate. When he came over a couple days later, I asked him somewhat shyly if he'd like to have both those things in one. After a moment of being adorably confused, he's an otter, he does everything adorably, he enthusiastically agreed. And that was 2 years ago this last Monday. We moved in together a few months later, and the rest is history. Anyways, sorry if this ended up a bit of a wall of text, but I hope I've contributed to the discussion. Feel free to tangent at any point, and those are often some of the most enjoyable moments of the show. Naughtily yours, Zulfair, the happily broken blue fox.
That's very cute.
That is cute.
Yay!
Yay! Yay! Yay!
Oh my.
No, I like that. That's good. And that's, you know, pretty much my thinking on it too, is there's nothing wrong with a genre specific thing. Just don't limit yourself to it. Yay. Thank you, Saverin. Okay, I'll take the next one. Open topic? Question mark.
Open!
Round one, fight. Okay. Hello, Notcast. I just recently started listening. I've been slowly going back through all the old episodes, though I have to say, listening at work tends to give me a lot of weird looks from my coworkers when I burst into uncontrollable laughter. We had to lock him away. He was more than happy. Not only did you all make me get more into Twitter just to follow you, but I've also started watching My Little Pony Friendship is Magic thanks to your nearly constant talk about it, as I mentioned to Saverin on Twitter. The question I have to ask doesn't have to do with dating sites, but it does have to do with approaching befriending other furs. I'm an especially socially awkward person. I've been to all of one con, FWA 2011, and while I did chat with both Fuzzwolf and Kyle Gold, among others, it was nerve-wracking for me. I don't want to be the creepy guy who stands off to the side just listening to the conversation, but on the other hand, I don't want to be the one who joins in one that I'm not welcome in. Is there a happy medium or something that I'm not aware of? I'd love to make more furry friends, but I don't know how to go about it. Thanks in advance, Kyo Mizuki. P.S. I also just wanted to say thank you. In the short time I've been listening, you've really helped me rethink who I am and what I want my relationship to be like. I find your advice invaluable on many of the subjects I've listened to. It has helped my self-image, my relationship with my boyfriend, and my own personal feelings. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the guidance you give.
Woo!
Okay. So, thinking, well, good for you. You can't be too socially awkward. I mean, you have a boyfriend. Yeah, and apparently that's working out, so that's a good start.
And, you know, you are concerned about being that guy, so, I mean, that by that alone, you're not going to be that guy.
Usually that guy doesn't realize that he's that guy or even consider the possibility of that guy.
Yeah. Personally, I think, you know, going up and talking to people is just fine, but you do need to kind of know what's the time and place.
Mm-hmm.
At a con, it's really easy to walk up to people and say hello. And that's actually a good thing. You can, you know, meet some pretty interesting people that way. But try not to just randomly join in conversations or just walk in and be like, well, I think, you know, you should just toss them all down the stairs. And then as two people turn and look at you in horror when they were talking about their grandmother, you know, or something.
Don't be the shover robot.
Yes.
You want to be the pusher robot?
Exactly. I mean,
even though you will be protecting them from the horrible secret of
only the doctor can do that, not ponies. Let's roll all of our shows into this.
And then Battlestar Galactica Slayers try and Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood fought Megatron.
Well, you know how Megatron was created by the Borg
and the Cybermen.
Yes,
working in conjunction with
the you would want to see that. That union, there was lubricant everywhere of all kinds.
So, hey, back to the email.
That I replaced their eyes with tips of penises. But Borg and Cybermen are very mix and match.
Yeah, they have like a drill hand and it's a fist and it just rotates. But, you know. One thing to do is also try to find a local fur meet to you. You didn't say where you're from, but as always, check and see if your state has a furry message boards for, you know, state furs, Florida furs, Georgia furs, Alabama furs, South Carolina furs.
Local area furs, yeah. Big city near you furs, whatever. And that's and also, especially with cons and friends, like I think we've said this before, but just get to know people online prior to the event so that you aren't just bursting into random conversations like the Kool-Aid man. You may or may not be welcome to. Yeah, don't walk up to a random group of people. Somebody says something you agree with, you go, oh, yeah, you know what I think. Yeah. At least if you have friends that you're set up to hang out with ahead of time, then you won't be the guy bursting in. You'll be the guy that's in the group involved in the conversation from the get-go, and that'll be a little easier. And then you meet new people, and if you know, like, if four people are talking and you already know a couple of the people in the group, it's a lot easier to walk up and join the conversation. Join the conversation forever. Yes. That's exactly what I meant.
I'm a terrible person.
And how? Chivo, next email.
Let's see. On Dallas and dating. Dear Notcast, first and foremost, thank you very much for all the great advice that you've given over the years. This is my first time writing, and since I finally caught up with the show after 6 months of listening to all the episodes in order. Wow.
Good job.
You got to hear our voices change as we went through puberty.
What are you talking about? My voice is still squeaky.
I have thoroughly enjoyed listening to the show, as it has helped me to get through many hours of boring homework, not to mention brightening my mood on countless occasions. I just graduated from high school and will be in Grapevine, Texas next week at the TSA National Conference for the Fashion Design Competition, and I was wondering.
Aiko.
What eating establishments would you recommend in the Dallas-Fort Worth area? Is there a part of town I must see? Are there any tourist attractions in town worth visiting?
No.
Okay, well, we should hit that first part.
Well, Grapevine's a little bit... You have to understand, Dallas-Fort Worth is huge. Yeah. I don't know how much traveling you're going to be able to do.
Yeah, it's like 300-400 square miles probably between Dallas and Fort Worth and the satellite cities.
Well, I mean, if you are in Grapevine, though, there's plenty of food and places to eat around Grapevine Mills, which I'm going to guess is around where you'll be staying.
Mm.
There's
a big mall complex out there, isn't there?
That's Grapevine Mills.
Yeah, it's
that's
a decent, okay. It's decent theater if you want, looking for something to do. There's mm-hmm. Heartache Barbecue that's out there that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, it's Hard and I can't remember if it's number 8. I think it's, but it's, if you Google like Capel barbecue and like Hard dash 8, H-A-R-D dash 8, really good smokehouse barbecue right in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a bunch of stuff.
There's Legoland.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're a little bit past there, but still, hey, it's Legoland. There's an aquarium there that's going to be opening up pretty soon. If you want to drive, if you're driving out towards Dallas, there's...
It really depends on how much mobility you're going to have. There's a zoo out in Fort Worth that's pretty decent. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they say where they're coming from.
Utah.
Well, you might have... Yeah, be careful. It's really hot right now. If you're going to spend any amount of time outside, make sure that you lots to drink and cover up your head. You'll get bad sunburn. If you've got access to the car there and you're going to be here on Saturday, they can always go out to Care and visit the kiddies out in Bridgeport.
Yeah. It's just fun. A matter of like how, you know, because of the distance involved and the fact that you'll be in Grapevine, which is pretty much as far from anywhere else in the Metroplex as anything else, because like Fort Worth's touristy stuff is in like sort of the center west of downtown and to the southwest of it, and Dallas's stuff is to the southeast of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to go downtown, you know, see the art museum or anything like that, it's still on the, you know, opposite side of the main city.
Yeah, it's a good deal away.
Come out to Addison and eat at all the restaurants.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If you give us an idea of how much mobility you have and where you, what kind of free time, we can give you some better pointers. Other than that, it's a gigantic place to be.
Yep. Okay, so.
Okay, finally, relationship questions. First, some personal information. I'm a gay 18-year-old in Utah with no experience in sex, dating, or even flirting. Part of the reason is that I've always tried to avoid thinking about people I know in a sexual or romantic manner for fear of things getting awkward. I've never really done anything social outside of school, and the few that I've attended, I play wallflower. As for sex, I've tried your advice to take it slow, and there's never too much lube. My questions will mostly pertain to dating. Who would you consider eligible for dating and why? Friends, close friends, acquaintances, or strangers? How does one go about asking someone to go on a date? Please forgive my ignorance, but Utah is a strange state for high school that people rarely ever just ask someone to a dance, but try to make a big show out of it by putting the invitation in puzzles, a very elaborate scavenger hunt, random musical numbers. I heard that it's very different in other states. It sounds like you live in Glee. How should one behave on a date? Having been raised by a fairly conservative manner and old-fashioned chivalry is all I can think of. What constitutes a good date? Dinner, a movie, long walks on a beach, other such cliches, or something out of the ordinary like a balloon ride? What is the protocol for before or after a date? Pick them up and drive them home, or take separate vehicles to the meeting point? Thank you for your time. I look forward to hearing your answers. A big fan, Jesus.
Or Jesus.
So, eligible for dating.
Friends? Close friends?
Friends, Romans, countrymen.
I'm not so keen on strangers. I've never really clicked with someone I'd never met before.
But a stranger is just a friend you haven't met.
So, I'd say I would go for friends to close friends, then acquaintances, and strangers I just haven't really clicked with. How does one go about one asking to go on a date?
Know if they're gay, first of all. It's usually a good idea.
Yes.
If it's somebody you hang out with, be like, hey, we should want to go see a movie.
Don't say want to go out on a date. Say, you want to go go to a movie.
Catch a show.
You want to go grab some dinner.
Yeah. No, if they ask you, you mean like a date. Don't muddy the issue. Just actually say, well, yeah.
And so, that will give you your answer if they're interested or not, usually.
So, you don't say the word date. If they ask us a date, be clear on your intentions. Let's see.
How do you behave on a date? The old-fashioned chivalry thing's just fine.
Yeah.
You don't gotta be this cool bro who, like, talks down to his date. Just, behave.
Be funny. Be yourself. That way you don't have to keep pretending to be someone else.
Open doors, that kind of stuff. Be nice.
Wow, I think this is where the native Texan differs from... Because I was going to say, don't do that shit.
Well, I mean, it's up to you. I mean...
Yeah, it's up to you in what you're... used to, but it's kind of like I wouldn't rush out of the way every time you're approaching a door to open a door.
Yeah, I'm not saying someone. Not rush, but I mean like do kind of
just sort of treat it casual. If you're at the door first, don't let it slam in their face. Just common courtesy, not really chivalry per se.
Yeah, be courteous, I guess you'd say. Not, but I tend to be leaning that way.
So this conversation just shows that people have a very different comfort level with the idea of chivalry, even just in this room, and how we'd define it. Like how I'd act on a date is totally different than how Shiva or Savern might act on it. So you just kind of got to play it by ear and play it within your comfort level and see what works for you.
Super knightly, but treat your date with respect.
Let's see, what constitutes a good date? I'm a dinner and a movie kind of girl. I mean, that doesn't mean that's what me and Siam typically could do, is we just go out dinner and a movie.
Nothing wrong with that.
For our anniversary, we just went down, saw a musical downtown, ate dinner at the music hall, and it was a really, really good time out, so it's kind of talk with them, see what they like to do, see what they're interested in. You could try popping something unusual, or you could just say, hey, you want to go see Green Lantern this weekend and do so.
Yeah, see, that's what I'd do, because I would say I would avoid initially the early dates, and since he doesn't have any experience, I'm assuming he'd be asking like a first-time date situation. I would skip the long walks on the beach or the balloon ride or anything special like that and just keep it casual the first couple of dates. because you don't want to do something extra special like you're coming on too strong.
Secondly, you want to treat this like something you want to do with a friend. You don't necessarily want to be super romantic. Super romantic is nice. But first and foremost, what you want to be doing is being friends with this person. If you don't know them especially well, you want to get to know them. Not just woo them and, you know, get into boyfriend-girlfriend, but you want to start by cementing a friendship, getting to know them. Do you like spending lots of time with them? So start casually and go from there.
Yeah. On the logistics front, I mean, on the protocol, he says, where to pick them up, drive them home, take separate vehicles, etc. I would say just whatever logistically works best for you. If you have a car and he doesn't, then clearly pick him up. If you both have vehicles and the place you're meeting at is like halfway between your houses, then I would just take separate cars and meet there. The idea of going to, for straight couples, going to your girlfriend's house and picking her up and shaking hands with her father and giving her a corsage and then, you know, making out in the parking lot while the prom is going on is sort of old school. And that's probably the environment and the attitude that you've been raised with being in Utah. But especially for gay couples, it's a little bit different than that. I'd say to just kind of treat it more casual, you know, talk about whatever works best for you as far as the transport situation works out.
Even with straight couples, these days, girls are being kind of steered towards take your own car, have an exit, be a little bit more self-reliant.
Yeah.
Just so that, because it gives you more control of a situation. Too many movies
I'm have filled it into your head that they're... I'm thinking that's not the case in Utah.
I know, probably. I'm just saying, it's just... Yeah, the whole pick up the date, give her a corsage, that whole scenario.
Mm-hmm.
The Breakfast at Tiffany's 80s movie scenario. But yeah, logistically, just see what your date wants to do. If they want to bring their car, let them bring their car.
Yeah.
Especially for the first couple dates, until you guys get more of a pattern of how things are done. It also might be good for comfort level that everybody has their own vehicle. So,
anything to add, Severn?
No, I mean, personally, I mean, gay dates, you're probably going to be meeting at a specific point, just from experience. Because you're in Utah, and anybody you are dating will probably not have parents too keen on.
So, next email, Severn?
Okay.
Oh, it's Mudslide Guy.
Indeed, it is Mudslide Guy.
Hi, Rada.
It's even in his signature.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Yep. Okie dokie.
Oh, holy crap, it is.
Greetings, Knockcasters. It is I, your Arkansas Lion, writing in about last month's con RCFM. I was hoping to hear someone else write in about it, as I'm definitely not the world's best when it comes to getting my thoughts out, organized, and making any kind of sense. But since I haven't heard any other reports, here goes. This is my first time at this con, and I have to say I really liked it. While not the biggest, it was certainly well-run and organized for the most part, and the con staff I had a chance to talk to were really nice and helpful. Also, they were easy to talk to and very willing to chat when they had the time. The hotel is a pretty good one, and the fact you could get a very nice free breakfast in the mornings and free drinks and snacks in the evening didn't hurt my enjoyment at all. I only went to a few of the panels, such as the Writer's Workshop, the First Week Construction, as well as some of the evening events. Bucktown was cool as always, and watching the First Week games was usually fun. For the most part, though, I just hung out with friends both old and new and had a great time just enjoying the slightly less frantic pace of the con. The formal ball they had on Saturday night was a blast, and I'm glad to see they're going to do it again next year. In fact, they played real music instead of just the oomph stuff that really made the night for me. Bleh. I suppose the only things I didn't like were minor ones, like the con suite being on the 10th floor. It really made it hard to use for a general hangout spot, with it being on the top floor, and no one wanted to be riding the elevators up and down that many times. With the con suite out, there really wasn't an area that felt like a good spot for a crowd to hang out other than at the bar, and it looked a bit too dignified for a bunch of nutty furries to be lounging about it. The other problem, again it might have just been me, was that the art show was a floor above the dealer's den and artist alley, and kind of hidden by the LAN room. I actually wondered about it a couple times before I noticed it, and a few others told me the same thing. Minor points, but I thought I'd mention them. In closing, it was a really good con, and one I plan on attending again in the future, and I really hope to see more people there and for it to grow. I suppose I've rambled on long enough now, and I'll be signing off till next time I bombard you with my random thoughts. Your mudslide-slinging, motorcycle-riding, mostly sane Arkansas line, Rahata. P.S. A note about the very nice Siani who was at the Fur Planet table. I picked up a couple books from him and wanted to say that I thought he did a good job behind the table.
Cool. And thank you for picking up books at my table.
So it's always nice to know that you can get people to report on your minions.
Report tattletale.
No, it's cool. Siani and I came up with that idea, and I'm glad it seemed to work out. So.
All right. Then we'll just go on and read the next one, huh?
Although he did get a lot of, when I was asking him how sales were going and what was selling, he apparently did get quite a few comments of, I don't read books, which makes me just face palm, you know?
Come on, don't live up to the stereotype of your state.
Oh, was it you that said that to me or was it Tieran? I think it might have been Tieran. When I told Tieran what Siani had said, he said, well, it is Alabama. I was like, oh, geez. So, yeah. Okay, so my turn then?
Yeah.
Okay. Ponies on the radio! Hello there, Notcast. I have a off-topic story to share with you guys that I thought you might get a laugh out of. The other day, I was driving to work and listening to one of my favorite radio stations, as I always do. The two of them were doing a little news segment when, much to my surprise, they started talking about the new trend, bronies. Yes, that's right, bronies. My jaw dropped, and my first thought was, clearly this can't be the same bronies as what I'm thinking. But indeed it was. They go on to say they go as far as purchasing the toys, requesting the girl toy with Happy Meals, and creating fan videos on YouTube. I couldn't help but laugh and shake my head instantly thinking of Saverin as they go on and talk about the website Equestria Daily. Anyway, hope you got a little laugh out of it like I did. Love you guys and the show from your fan in Sin City, Las Vegas, Tiber. And then he says, P.S., here's the link to the segment they did on it. And it's a link.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, remember how, you know, the furries get all butthurt whenever they get mentioned, and whenever we get mentioned on the show, you know, it's kind of the same people. They're not the only one, and there was an article on Wired that sort of outlined what the whole My Little Pony fandom is sort of coalesced into, and it talks with several of the people. Like Thisto from Equestria Daily, a couple other people, Jason Thesign, Lauren Faust, a couple other people just commenting on, well, yeah, it's kind of cool. Our shit's getting noticed, and there's this big fandom that has money. And, but there was a couple people on similar shows that really tore the shit, actually saying a lot of the same things that, you know, they said about furries.
Not the link that this guy gave, I'm guessing.
No, I don't think this one was it, no.
Okay.
But a lot of the morning zoo shows, it's like, hey, look, let's pick on somebody that looks a little bit more pathetic than we already are.
Her, her, her.
So, yeah, it's one of those things that it's getting noticed, and it's there, and just don't be too thrilled about other groups getting torn up, because I know furries get all butthurt, us furries get all butthurt about it when we get mentioned.
You might want to explain that, because you kind of explained it to me on the car ride over. But so apparently, was there some furries like laughing at the fact that bronies were being attacked on the radio? Or?
There were some people, yeah, on both sides of the aisle, really, but both the 4chaners and the furries. But it's one of those things where, you know, furry, especially after like the FWA incident, where you had, you know, those losers come in and tear FWA, a new one, on the radio on their little morning zoo show, and you had the furries getting all very mad about it, legitimately so, and then you've got the shithead fur fags that are worthless and are like, oh yeah, it's all totally like that, they're fucking dogs in there, you know.
Yeah, just to make that point right quick, one of my pet peeves is the anti-furry furries, the people that are basically doing the hipster fuck thing and saying, like, I'm just a furry to be ironic and make fun of other furries. Take your negative attitude and get the fuck out. And this conversation came up on Twitter today, which is the only reason that I'm bringing it up now. It is related to that. And it's like, yeah, some people are part of the problem. Then, you know, in Texas, we take them out into the middle of the country and shoot them.
So they're just furry to troll furry.
Yeah, well, you know that inside they really love this shit and they're fapping all the same porn as everybody else does, but they're all like, oh, I'm too cool for school, spelled with a K, because this is the 80s. But they're just being cunts for no reason. Don't laugh,
students. Back then, everybody wore their mane that way. Oh, 80s Cheerily, you are the best teacher.
Speaking of 80s knockoffs, have you seen the new Katy Perry? I don't know if it's new, but it's like TGIF video. No. It is hilarious.
Is it? So it's a video shot like in the 80s style?
Yes, yes. Think of the 80s teen comedies. And oh, the okay. whole video is a knockoff on it, and it is hilarious.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie dokie.
Okay, so hey, how about we read that next one and we'll talk about.
Okay. Music plus help.
Equals hey profit. No, I don't
know. Well, maybe we can help them profit. Hey there, it's Pepper once again, regaling you with tales of a musical kind. I have another song for you called The Suit, performed by me and the band Look Left. If authors offer second album, You Should Drink More, now available on iTunes. Plug, 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 plug. Let's see, it goes more in line with what is a hipster bonus topic. The song talks about being different in the face of pop culture adversity. I think as a person who likes things that aren't mainstream, sometimes because they aren't mainstream. The kind of person who talks about how vinyl was the best recording medium, or the guy who says Mr. Show was the best thing ever on HBO. People who look like hipsters, like dude wearing four layers of sweaters and a snow hat in summer, aren't it. Now the help part of the email. My band has a show at Anthrocon this year, but due to a scheduling error, we were left off the official schedule.
Oh my.
Yeah, oops. We could really use help getting the word out. If any listeners out there are interested in hearing Look Left live, we'll be playing in the Performance Hall, which is room 319 in the Convention Center. The show is Sunday the 26th at 12 noon. Again, Sunday at noon in the Performance Hall. You guys have been a massive help to our group in the way of exposure, and I thank every one of you for your help. I'll be sure to say hi AC this year when it's not too crazy at the Fur Planet table. Pepper Coyote.
Fantastic. Well, cool. Thank you for the music break, and we're going to be using that for this week's episode. But since we're only like 40 minutes in and we have a ton of emails, we're going to keep going. But it'll definitely be the music break.
Okay.
Because this next email, holy shit.
Oh, God, this one. Yes.
Wait. Whose turn is it?
It's yours.
Yours.
Oh, shit.
Just because I'm looking at it doesn't mean I'm going to read it.
Okay, so.
It's the beauty of the same account, Saverin. We all have access to it.
Yeah. I lost my place. Okay, so this next email, the subject is, did I do the right thing? Please keep this anonymous. Hi, Notcast. I have a dilemma for you. My boyfriend has this extremely racist friend that I cannot stand. I mean, he will see a black person walking down the street and roll down his window to yell, nigger. Or when we were at the drive-thru restaurant and the person at the window was Asian, he said, why didn't you go back to China, you dumb chink?
Now give me my change.
This hit a nerve with me because I have friends and work with people that have to put up with this shit, so I finally got angry and told him what I thought of him in person to his face. And he told me I was a raging useless faggot and that it was his freedom of speech and I was committing a hate crime for discriminating against the way he was raised. Now hopefully, if you're listening to this while driving, you have not double facepalmed and driven off the road. I told him to read the Charter of Rights and Freedoms and tell me that it's okay to yell nigger at black people. He told me to fuck off or he'll get the cops. What?
You were probably in his house.
So, by the way, he liked me till I found that I was part of a racial minority, a native, and he told me how all my people do is abuse our treaties and use white technology while never giving back to a white society. Later, my boyfriend comes to me and is mad at me for telling his friend off. I feel like this guy deserved to know the truth, and I don't care that he's a friend of my boyfriend's. How do I show my boyfriend that I was trying to give him a lesson in respect, and did I do the right thing, Sincerely, Anonymous.
Dude.
I am laughing because this fucking guy sounds so completely ludicrous that I'm just like, what?
Yeah, this is one of those terrible story, bro. Honestly, dude, this is just my opinion, but first of all, your boyfriend gets like some really big black marks because he's friends with his douchebag.
And he's not horrified by this douchebag's behavior.
There's certain things that you need to stand up for. And there's certain things that are not, you don't step down from, you don't back off from.
And, you know, this sort of egregious racism is fucking unacceptable. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter how you're raised. You need to rise above your, you know, how you're born and get your shit together and know how to act in civilized fucking society.
This guy isn't a member of the KKK. You know, he's just poster boy.
Yeah. He's And honestly, if your boyfriend gives you shit over telling him off and would rather side with your friend, I'd dump the boyfriend too. Because that is fucking unacceptable.
Part of me is like, I don't want to say dump your boyfriend and find a better one just based on this. But well, no. I think you do need to
at least
definitely evaluate. Have a fucking sit down and come to Jesus meeting with your boyfriend here.
I'm not like, saying, you know, dump the fucker right this second. I'm saying that if he doesn't, you know, apologize for getting mad at you and say, hey, look, you know, just because your friend says he was born that way, in terms of, you know, he was raised to be a horrible racist, that doesn't give an excuse to be a horrible racist.
That's and just being a horrible racist.
Yeah.
Holy crap. I mean, seriously.
Oh, no, you're natives. Okay.
Yeah, that's like, really fun. You know, and he showed, like, homophobia and racial bigotry, because first he called you a raging, useless faggot, and then he criticized you being a native. So it's like, wow, this guy's just a shit on all levels.
He hates blacks, he hates Asian, he hates gays, and he hates natives. He's just a classy motherfucker. So, yeah,
not saying dump the motherfucker, but you need to have a talk.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to have a serious talk.
There are certain things that should not fly. I mean, that's one of them.
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah. And, you know, unless your friend is gay himself, I wouldn't put it past him to be homophobic when you guys aren't around. You know, if he's that bigoted against racial minorities, then, you know, he's probably not really a friend of y'all's. But that's just my feelings on that. This guy sounds like a massive shit.
Okay.
So there we go. So classy.
Did you want to do break now, or are we going on?
We'll do one more with you, one for Shiva, and then we'll be right near an hour.
Okay. All right.
And then we'll do our break.
Okay, so let me read this. This is a short email. I must be doing it wrong. Dear Notcast crew, when I heard this week's topic, I had to write in. I tried both furry and non-furry dating site, and I haven't had much luck with either of them. So here is my question. Is there a way to improve my chances on this dating site, or should I be trying something else? Anyway, from a military gaming uber nerd weasel and fan of the show, it's Devil.
Well, if you're using furry dating sites, you can always, I mean, we actually answered a similar email earlier in the show.
Uh-huh.
What should you do? Well, go look. Well, actually, we had someone write in on it and said, you know, try to find some friends. Don't necessarily go on to Pounce and be like looking for people looking for a quick EF. That's honestly a setting on the site. Last I checked. Uh-huh. You know, go for people looking for friends. Find locals to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the military, I don't think you'll find too many on base, but, you know.
I do have a suggestion for you, and I don't want you to take this as attacking you. I wonder if it's
the same thing that I'm going to suggest.
I don't want to take this as attacking you or being overly critical, and I'm not making fun of you like the way we make fun of a lot of emails like this, but you really need to work on your grammar and email writing skills, because if you write a personal ad the way you wrote this email, then I can definitely see why people would be passing it up. You've got lowercase I's, lowercase at the beginning of sentences, the wrong word in a couple of places. And, you know, people see emails and they make a, or personals add, I'm going to make a judgment call about somebody's compatibility with me, and maybe to a degree their educational level, based on grammatical structure like that.
And like you said, we're not attacking you, but it is a fair statement.
A personal ad is a text-based medium. So
spelling counts.
Well, spelling counts. Think of it like a fucking resume. Exactly. Yeah. Like a job interview is where I was going with that. Yeah.
Because, you know, it's the same sort of thing. You want to be upfront and you want to look as good as you can. And typing from the internet, like an internet person from the internet.
On the internet.
Internetistan.
Yes. If you're going to type like that, people won't take you seriously. And that could be an aspect of your problem.
Now, I used to run similar things when used to run around on Taps and a lot of the other...
Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, I was going to comment
on that. I was just curious. Sorry, go ahead.
Is you'd have people just this horrible... They seemed interesting people when you could make out what they were saying. Mm-hmm. But there used to be huge fights about, you know, hey, you're in a text-based medium. Try to polish it up a little. And people just basically go, why should I bother?
Because I'm not going to TS with you if you can't fucking spell.
Mm-hmm. Basically, yes.
I mean, that's always been my rule.
Yeah.
Proper English, motherfucker.
You want to put your best foot forward, and so if you polish, make sure you get a good picture, put down all... If you could think of an interest, put it down, your favorite shows... what you like to do, hobbies. You want to kind of salt out as a lot to maybe try and get somebody to get interested.
Yeah, people are going to look for, like, interests in common. And it has to be beyond just furry. Because I know a lot of furries that I have nothing in common with. That, you know, you may or may not become friends with those people. But there has to be some... The more common ground you have to kind of... start a foundation of a relationship or a friendship with, then the better off you are and the better your chances are going to be of that maybe growing into something later on.
Okay. Let's see. I think that's about...
Yeah. I mean, that's a long answer to a short email.
Okay. Next one. Then a break?
Indeed.
Okay.
Subject, it's gotten worse.
Ooh. Relationship calculus.
Hello, not cast crew. This is not voting well. I fuck up the first sentence.
In the name of the show, it's like,
no pressure.
I don't really expect to be emailed back or have my email read, which would be awesome, but I really need some help. Well, I guess you were wrong. Lately, my mate introduced me to another fur, and next thing I knew, I had really strong feelings for this other fur. I'd like both my mate and this other fur to remain anonymous, so I'll call my mate Ferret 1, and the other fur Husky 2. I'm a huge skateboarder. Let's see. I still have feelings for my Ferret 1. We've known each other for 4 years now. We've been mates for one of those years, which is apparently a lot longer than most furry relationships, I guess. At least that's what someone told me. Ferret 1 recently snapped at me when I told him about my crush for Husky 2. Ferret 1 has always been nice to me up to this point. Ferret 1 has treated me with love and respect and occasionally pisses me off by calling me an emo alien because of the long hair I used to sport.
What?
Well, okay. You know, if you're here legally, though, then it's all right.
I mean, I know it's his idea of a personal joke, but still it pisses me off. I really, really like Ferret 1. Oh, and did I mention that Ferret 1 cheated on me with Husky 2? I fractured my ankle, and Ferret 1 showed really concern. Ferret 1 has no job plans for the future. I know it sounds like I should just dump Ferret 1 so far, but we've developed really strong bonds, and I'm scared to break up with him.
Because only he has the key.
Now for Husky 2. Ferret 1 introduced me to Husky 2, and instantly the sparks are flying. Husky, too, wants to actually be in a long-term relationship, get married, and have a single kid. But he also wants me to start going to Christian church with him. I don't have a problem with the whole church thing, mainly because my whole family is Mormon. Ugh, coming out to them was a horrible mistake. Anyways, I strayed a bit. I'm sorry, Sovereign. Husky, too... I don't know.
Because you're the asshole that always complains. And rah, rah, rah. I don't know.
Anywho, Husky 2 is treating me with nothing but respect, and I would love to plan out marriage and everything. However, I still have to go to college and graduate and become an accountant for the next Tony Hawk.
Or the next Tony Hawk.
Or the next. Okay. Well, or for the next Tony Hawk. I mean, I'm sure being Tony Hawk's accountant, cool.
Tony Hawk Extreme Accountancy. Coming soon for 360.
I really enjoy the company of Husky 2, and he's
did some severe grinding on that tax code. Anyway, go ahead.
I really enjoyed the company Husky 2, and
check out this bodacious spreadsheet. I'll stop now.
Are you sure?
Yes, because I've run out of accounting and 80s skateboard references, and I can't think of a good pun to work gleaming the cube into. So,
so hey, how about that email?
Both Husky 2 and I have ADHD, and he seems to be more of a wife type, I guess, because he's like, he likes planning while I kind of like to wait till the last second to do things. Even though Husky 2 knows about my fractured ankle, he'd appreciate a stop, but didn't say I have to. Husky 2 is going into business. Let's see. I'm not into anything for sex, and now that I think about it, Ferrex 1 seems to want nothing but sex, while Husky 2 is okay waiting till marriage. I'm still a virgin, and I do want to wait until marriage or permanent relationship to have sex. Ferret 1 has always been open to conversation when I've been in my darkest hours, and has always gave me good advice. I don't want to lose him, and now he's broken up with me. Husky 2 are going out now, but I'm seriously worried about Ferret 1, because all of his friends are coming after me worried that he's going to commit suicide. I feel like I've gotten stuck in the middle of a really bad love triangle. Ferret 1 has always been open to me. He's always willing to comfort me in my darkest hours and always remained there for me. That's one of his best qualities, and he has really good ones, like the way he can just make me laugh on the spot and the way we talk with each other. And he's always such a nice person to me. Ferret 1 has an overall awesome personality and brings out the best in me most of the time. I don't want to lose Ferret 1 completely, but I don't want to break his heart, even though he just shattered mine, but he had a right to because Husky 2 keeps attacking him.
Oh, Christ.
Husky 2 and Ferret 1 really hate each other, and the whole situation scares me altogether. Please, oh please, not fast crew. I need some help in convincing. I really start to feel like I'm the dick in the situation, even though I try my hardest to be nice to everyone. And just so you can have more information on me, I've got a really close friend of mine to admit why she liked me and what my best qualities were. Apparently, even when I'm warned that someone is an outcast and shouldn't be hung around, I hang around them, and I'm their friend anyways, because I always see the good in people. This is exactly what my other close friends said. You mean what? Let's see.
She breaks into a separate language here for a short bit, where we have to translate it back into proper English, but...
Something about, you mean, why do I like him, I guess? Well, writer, you're so funny. You make me happy when I talk to you. Your smile's amazing. You're hot. I love your hair. Justin Bieber's old hairstyle. You're such a football. You have an amazing personality.
John Madden.
I know this sounds like I'm being full of myself, but these are messages straight from my phone. Any advice for my situation would be helpful. Your friendly gangster... Buzio from St. Louis, Jack Buzio, or Zach Buzio.
What a mess.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds like Rock and Hard Place.
You guys sound really, really young.
Yeah, that's one way to put it, yes. This is a mess. You are in the middle of a bad love triangle. Just going to put that out there. And at least you acknowledge that fact. So Ferret 1 has some issues, and so does Husky 2. ultimately, you're going to have to pick one of them.
But Ferret One has already dumped him, so he really doesn't have much of a choice there.
Okay, so Ferret One can...
But he wants to remain friends with the ferret.
But they're also fighting...
Husky 2 and Ferret 1.
Husky and Ferret. There's only one of each.
So, okay, Husky and Ferret are fighting.
And they hate each other. And... So, but... Ferret dumped you. And now you're dating Husky. So...
And didn't Ferret cheat on
them? Ferret cheated on him with Husky.
And then when they got flirty, Ferret dumps you?
Yeah.
What?
What a mess.
Well, Ferret, you know, in a way, it's not really a mess. Because Ferret One dumped him, and other people are trying to get him to give a shit about Ferret One and saying that he's going to commit suicide. Which, see all of our previous comments on emotional blackmail.
Yeah, it's bad, yo.
It's bad, and that is a really good reason to not be involved. Don't allow yourself to be sucked back into this guy's life. He's, you know, trying to use you. I know you care about him, and that's really nice of you. But, you know, if this guy cheated on you and then dumped you, and earlier in the paragraph, it's, you know, he sounded like kind of a dick here and there. It's a little inconclusive, actually, because, like, the first paragraph, it says, I'm scared to break up with him. And then by the end of the email, it's like Ferret's dumped him and now he's with Husky. The writer is with Husky. So, you know, hopefully we've got that straight here. But I don't think you really need to concern yourself with Ferret. Or his feelings, or what's going on there right now. I mean, if you've just broken up with this guy, some distance is what is required. I don't know why half the email is you trying to decide between them when a decision has already been taken out of your hands by one of the two people.
Unless you go back crawling on your knees, I mean.
Which, yeah. At this point, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Saverin?
Because you're young and dumb. That would be why.
But not full of cum because he's a virgin.
Yeah, so honestly, go with Husky in this case. I mean, reading the email, Ferret done goofed. And if your friends are going to try to emotionally blackmail you, I mean, he dumped you. And you don't owe him anything, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's a doof enough to go kill himself, well... I mean, don't think I'm being like callous and cold and, you know, just fuck that guy, but he dumped you. He's not your responsibility, and any decision that he makes to harm himself is his alone.
Mm-hmm.
So.
The other thing I kind of put out there, not to completely, it's cool that even if you've gotten bad information from somebody saying that somebody else is an asshole or whatever, you still hang out with them. I do advocate getting both sides of the story whenever people are talking shit about one person in the community. But you do also want to keep those concerns in the back of your mind. And I wouldn't just befriend everybody completely and completely go with whatever the other person is telling you, oh, they're all against me or so. So you want to keep an open mind and learn both sides of the story. Just, I'm concerned about that. You know, sometimes it's bullshit and rumors, and sometimes you find a group that's giving you the wrong information. Sometimes, though, if you're being told the same thing from multiple people who are unaffiliated, they're probably telling you those things for a reason. So, just be careful. You sound like you might be a little too trusting. But that's all on that.
Yeah, I think you guys have a pretty well of a guess, at least from what we can tell from the email.
All right, so we have now gone over an hour. Well, we're actually right at about an hour by the time I'm saying this. And we are going to take a break. This week's song is provided by the ever fantastic Pepper Coyote from the band Look Left, playing this week, this Anthrocon, God, this Anthrocon at room 319 of the Convention Center on Sunday, the 26th at noon. At Sunday noon at the Performance Hall, the song is This Suit.
Sit and fret about the way snow cones don't really work, no. The syrup always ends up in the bottom of the cup. Clock men running to and fro, taking just enough time to yell at you from their open car window. You know it isn't the first time.
Find the help you need. Take the help you see. Can't keep the pace, man, I'm pulling away. And with this suit, who can dream bigger? Gotta grab it with both hands, pick my own winner. No, no perception gonna get me down. No perception gonna bring me down.
Harvard ain't got no business like the busyness of one pair that went sprinting to the next drive. Take a ticket, wait in line for the pain.
Whoa, he calls like this and she calls like that. When you wake up in the morning, reaching for the sun, oh no, he don't like that. Pebbles in their place.
Find the help you need. Take the help you see.
We're back. Hope you enjoyed that musical interlude from Look Left. And now we're going to talk about something a little bit out of left field. This week's item from AdamandEve.com is Star Trek The Next Generation XXX parody. It's a DVD. And wow, did they get some actors that look like the actors from Next Generation. From Sex in the Captain's Chair to Dirty Holodeck Fantasy, this is the Star Trek Next Generation you've always imagined. Sent to explore unusual energy readings near the Romulan neutral zone, the Enterprise crew discovers long-lost crewmate Tasha Yar from an alternate universe. But just as the crew starts adjusting to having her back, a Romulan warbird decloaks and threatens to take her.
Romulan warbler.
Yes. filled with simply amazing cast, including professional captioned Picard impersonator Giles Aston, and a plot that slots right into the original TV series, this movie's not so much a spoof as a long-lost original episode with tons of hot triple X action. Two-disc set, five scenes, 112 minutes, plus 70 bonus minutes, including a non-sex party version. So it's like an episode with these people and none of the sex. Because. And this is actually something that's shown up on, like, IO9 and a couple of the more legitimate sites. Well, it's a Gawker site, so it's not really legitimate, but you know what I mean.
Well, at least then you could, like, share it with people and go, yuck, yuck, yuck. You know,
but yeah, if you look at, like, the cover of it, the guy they got for Picard looks exactly like Picard. It's kind of crazy.
Does he look like Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise?
Captain. But yes, you've got LaForge with Dr. Worf proves that Klingons are great warriors.
Holy crap, he does look like Jean-Luc Picard. That's eerie.
If Tasha Yar teaches Lieutenant Commander Data about sex again. Yes, because after all, he is fully functional.
Fully functional.
$29.95, so you could get it for about $15.
Yeah, it's about the price of a regular DVD. And it's you can fap to it.
Or just laugh really hard.
Or both.
Not laughing while fapping. Well, it's better than crying while fapping.
Yeah.
That's just sad and creepy. Especially if you do it in the shower. Like a can of pudding.
What? So, hey, how about an email, anybody?
It's your turn.
Oh, it is my turn?
Yes, I read the last one. It's your turn.
Well.
So, how about that email?
How about that
email? I love email? That when you get so flustered. You're like, for God's sake, read that email. Oh, it's my turn.
I'm going to get in trouble. I'm the one that's always on bugging you about the soundboard, and I'm the one with the soundboard tonight.
Ah, yeah, we should let the listeners know that I haven't played a single fucking soundboard this episode. So now I have to. There we go. And that is your contribution from me. Fluttershy is the best pony.
She's cutest pony. She's not best pony.
We get into like a fucking knocked out, drag out fight. Who's the best
pony? No, sir. Fuck you. Rainbow Dash is best pony.
Did you like my terrible pun the other day?
Yes.
Do you share it on the show?
You can if you want.
Oh, okay. I was trying to think of pony based bands, so I came up with Rainbow Dashboard Confessional.
Yes. With Emo Shy as the lead singer.
I'll try to think of more.
Go for it. Okay, so hey, email time. Dear Knotcast, I'm writing you because I need your advice. The following section is a prologue. From my 7th year in high school to my 10th, I was a bully. I knew personally that I made life for many people hell. I spread rumors, stole items, destroyed things, and caused physical and emotional harm. This continued until the last quarter of year 10. One of the people I bullied tried to commit suicide when which started a train of events beginning with my becoming a leper and ending with me tearfully kissing the person I bullied goodbye as I boarded a plane headed for a different state due to increasing hostilities against my person. 2 months later, he broke up with me due to a combination of threats and peer pressure. I'm going to say that possibly not a, like, physical leper, but, like,
outcast.
Social out.
It would explain why he had to board a plane and leave for the leper colony, because his dick fell off.
Okay, so the problem is my friends at my new school. Their perception of me is mostly a lie. The stories I tell of my life, my mannerisms, my jokes, and everything, it's all a lie.
There is no truth in Mallrats!
And at this point, I'm afraid of what would happen if the truth came out. The point is that even though my life now is under a lie, I prefer to my old one, the person I used to be. I just want to erase, and I care about my friends and would do almost anything for them, and I don't want to risk losing them. My question is, should I come clean and tell my friends about the real me, bully and all, or should I replace the old me with the new me? Because the old me was a bully, and even surpassed Recky in assholishness.
We love you, Recky.
No chivalry, etc. And the new me is a nice guy that stops fights and bullying, an utter gentleman, etc. The answer is probably obvious despite the fact that the new me is fake, but you believe something hard enough it can become true, right? I'll let you decide which name to use. Anonymous.
Now, here's the thing. Oftentimes, it takes practice. And the thing is if you admit to the fake you, are you just going to stop being a nice guy? Are you going to go back to a douche that is, you know, physical harm? Because if you want to drop all your new mannerisms and go back to being a bully, then then what you are is a lie. If you like who you are now, if you still intend to continue being a nice guy who stops fights, stands up against bullies, and is a gentleman, that's not a lie. People can change. You can have change and become the new you. That doesn't make it a lie. And it makes you learn your lesson.
Yeah, and that's an angle. I mean, if people ask and say, you know, I used to be a not very nice person, but I changed.
Yeah, you can own up to your past, but
you're like, you know, I used to be a real asshole, and I'm doing my damnedest to get away from it, and that'll actually get you more respect.
Yeah, that's actually points in your favor that you used to be a dick, and now you've matured or changed your negative ways, and you know, you're a better person now. It doesn't mean you're a fake person now.
It just means that you learned your goddamn lesson. Welcome to being an adult.
I mean, so. I'm sure that all of us can say that we've had points in our lives where we did stuff and were involved in things that we're not proud of. The mark of being like an adult.
Starting this podcast. I'll never live that down.
I'm working on moving on from that. No. Not really, guys. Not really.
I'm actually starting to wonder.
I'm bi-podcast-ual.
Okay, all right. You really love your ponies. So.
And I'm still doing this. So, I mean, plus Panther would kill me if we stopped using all this equipment we own. You can own up to what you were, but if you genuinely have changed as a person, and, you know, I wouldn't be like trying to earn martyr points to be like, oh, I used to be this terrible person, look at me, I'm so good, but I'm so bad. Whip me.
Unless you're into that.
Yeah.
That's a whole other episode.
It's only a lie.
Call her Madam R. No.
It's only a lie if you want to go back to what you are and you want to give up your mask and go back to being a douche. If you do, then that is a lie.
But if you feel that you are generally a different person, then don't beat yourself up about what you did in the past, but try to remember it and move beyond it.
Learn from those mistakes.
Know, be a bigger man than you used to be.
So. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Science.
We're all in agreement there. Yay! Okay. Did you read that one, Tavern?
Okay. So, this is the one from Gaming Forever.
Okay.
This is another little sort of quasi-ad, so hey.
My throat was getting dry. Just
take sustenance. It.
Sustenance, yes. Coke Zero.
Bueno.
Hello from Gaming Forever. Hello. Been listening to the show for quite a while and thought that my new site that just launched would be of interest to you and all your listeners. Gamingforever.com. That's forever with a U.
Like furry.
Yes. And I guess Savrin could put that in the show notes if you can check that.
Yep.
Hopes to be the central online community for furries who love games. We just launched on June 10th and currently offer a database of video games with anthropomorphic characters, message boards, high score recording arcade games, daily gaming news, personal blogs, and a dense community system that integrates everything together seamlessly. Every gamer needs a place where they can discuss the latest happenings in the industry with fellow gamers. What makes this site special is its catering to the furry crowd and focus on keeping content aimed at all things gaming. Groups of people can come from anywhere in the world and plan gaming nights over the internet, talk about new and old furry gaming experiences, and find others who share the same love for this growing hobby. Gaming Forever wants to represent the furry gaming community and news network at E3 2012, and the creator of the site has actually been to two previous E3s in 2009 and 2010. We hope to achieve a user base composed of members who want healthy competition and banter. We want to be the source of for information about game releases that features Anthro characters and provide an archive of previous releases for future furry gamers who want to go back and play the classics. Almost every furry is a gamer. Almost.
And we've ironic who's reading
ironically
this?
Get the one furry that's not to read the email. And now Shiva will read the email about something that I'm interested in. And we believe every furry gamer can find a reason to visit gamingforever.com. Just wanted to pass along this information, and best of luck to Notcast, JoJo, site founder, gamingforever.com.
There you go.
Ta-da.
Check it out.
All right.
If you're a furry gamer, or a furry, ooh, or a gamer, you might be interested.
Let's see. Next topic is Fur Fright Cap. Hello, Notcasters. Possibly off topic, unless it's an open topic week. But I have a question you might want to deliberate. Furfright has recently posted an attendance cap limit of 1,500 attendees, with a reasoning of Baltic Bear, after asking Congoer opinions, deciding to keep the con a small and friendly atmosphere, as opposed to the atmosphere of larger cons. The full details can be seen at the LiveJournal post, and that's on the Furfright LiveJournal. If any of you want more information, we'd love to hear your opinions. Order the New England Cougar Cat. So, limiting con size.
It's their con. They're more than welcome to do so. I just don't want to be the person in charge of registration when
1,500s gets used up.
when there's 1,499 people registered, and then a guy and his mate want to come.
Oh. Yeah.
That's just me. I do understand the reasoning, though. I mean, past a certain size, cons do get unwieldy. I mean, an obvious example is A-Con here past weekend is, like, ridiculous amounts of people, and it's a space that's too small for it already. I mean, we're talking, like, five times larger than Anthrocon here. And Anthrocon's, personally, is kind of pushing it on a bunch of amount of crowds that I want to deal with, but AC has fantastic space, so it doesn't feel nearly as crowded.
Speaking of A-Con, did you guys see the numbers that we pulled in for that room party?
120 people.
That's just the one that we could count by counting how many tickets we left in the bucket.
Cool.
So we did the drawings and stuff like that. Did you guys wrap off the shirts?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
And we used that to kind of keep a rough tally of how many bodies. We had so many bodies in that room.
It was a big yeah.
We couldn't bury them all.
The AC started going out towards the end of it, and I had to get out of the room.
Well, that was also the ACs in the A-Con rooms, they're actually on timers. So it's like a 3-hour timer or so, and if you don't go and turn it back on again, they turn off.
Oh, it's probably one of those, environmental things.
Yeah, it says, we're going green.
There was a con. It was a furry con. I can't remember which one it was, but you had to activate the air conditioner by putting your room key into the control panel. So basically, the AC would not be on when nobody was in the room. So the drawback being whenever you went into the room, it was fucking stifling.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to pop your key in the slot and turn on the air conditioner.
That wouldn't save any energy at all. Keeping it at a constant temperature is way more conservative than hot, cold.
Yeah, I mean, it might not have been 100% off, but
that's still kind of derfy.
So, but
I don't remember what hotel that was that had that idea. This is interesting. The Furfright Live Journal post, it pretty much takes a direct smack at Anthrocon and now FC. You know, it says, and not want to ruin the damn thing by moving it into a soulless convention center.
Well,
holy shit, dude, really?
There are benefits to each. I think AC is the big corporate-y style con that's not corporate at all, but you know what I mean. And I believe it's firmly within their rights to maintain a vision for their con that includes a smaller hotel, a mat cap on people, and a more friendly atmosphere. Well, or more a smaller atmosphere.
See, it's a weird size, because to me, 1,500 people is not a small convention.
No.
Not in the realm of furry.
Like 400, 600, that's small.
Yeah, MFM is a small convention. RCFM is a small convention.
OklaCon is a small convention.
But this, I don't consider this a small con.
Medium size. I mean,
anything over 1,000 people, you're starting to move into larger con territory. Well,
think about like AllCon here in the same space that we use for Furry Fiesta. They hit about 1,700 this year, and it was pretty packed in our space.
Yeah.
But if they're in a slightly bigger hotel, well, actually, their layout just suck. But, well.
But they have boobies, so it's okay.
Yeah. So did the FurryCon.
Well, anyway. Just
a smaller contingent of them. But anyways. And
they came with penises, too.
Some of them did, yeah. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with it, but I wouldn't expect to see many cons follow suit. Because cons generally have to grow to survive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to say my general feeling of it is, you know, it's their call. It's all good. They know what's best for them. I haven't been to Fur Fright since 2004. So I don't know what the atmosphere is like, you know.
They're going to have to kind of see what it does for their con. I mean, if they get flack and they start losing attendance because of it, because people think, oh, I'm not going to be able to get one of those slots, it might hurt them and it might just suit them just fine.
See, here's the thing about the idea in America, and this, we talked about this a couple weeks ago with the cities that are shrinking in population and having to pull in their borders and being a small city.
Like Detroit?
So, like Detroit, and there's another one in Pennsylvania that's doing the same. I don't want to say it. It might be Allentown, but I'm not sure if that's right. But anyway, the whole idea in the West is that bigger is always better. And that, you know, even if a company posted the exact same sales that they did the previous year, they'd be seen as a failure because they didn't have growth. And there's this ingrained idea that everything always has to grow in size and get bigger and bigger and more attendance and more sales and more dollars. And so Fur Fright's really kind of bucking the trend on our traditional idea, yeah, of grow. You know, because frankly, I don't want Furry Fiesta to be too massive. And that's just my feeling on it, that I would prefer that we just have the one furry mecca, Anthrocon, with over 4,000 people at it. That's fine. But I don't need every con to be on that massive a scale, you know. And if they think that they can put on a better show and they can spend their incoming funds more efficiently by limiting the number, then that works for them. And, you know, to answer your point, Savern, I doubt that it will be a fucking hard and fast rule of 1,500, I bet you there will be leeway within 10 to 20 spot. And I'm not affiliated with Fur Fright at all. I'm not speaking for them. This is just me guessing. But for exactly that reason, and that you will always have more people showing up at the door, they're going to want to pad that out a little bit. But, you know, so I don't think that would be as much of a PR issue. But they're also putting it right out there on front that, hey, here's what we're doing, so at least it's not a, you know, an unpleasant surprise. It's not for like anybody.
A little surprise.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't really see a problem with it, you know. But you know, there's all the different sizes of cons, and you know, not to bash, you know, Anthrocon or FC for being larger cons, they have a very different dynamic than small conventions, but they all kind of have their place and serve their functions. I'd actually recommend that if you're a furry and you're able to go to one, more than one convention a year, I'd recommend that you do one really big one and one small one that's local to you. Support your local regional con, but also go to whatever the big con is for your part of the country, because it's a totally different experience, and go there with a totally different idea of what you want to see.
So many people.
Yeah. On that note, I was actually going to, if you guys don't mind me doing a, you know, what Live from the Hop In says is a marketing portion, I was going to give a rundown of some of the new shit that I got coming out at Anthrocon.
Go ahead.
Okay. So we're going to it's looking like we're going to have a total of 11 new titles at our table at AC, which is quite a good number of new things. And I did just post to the scrap section of the For Planet account on FA recently images of 9 of those covers. The 10th new item is Buster Wild, which is actually published by Bad Dog Books, but it'll be debuting at our table. You Alderfers may remember Buster Wild from back in the day on the website comic strip series. It's actually going to be in print for the first time, and we're going to have that basically for the first time it's ever been in print. They're also putting it back online in higher resolution. But, you know, just to give a real quick rundown of what our titles are coming up, we have an art folio book from Sam Picos, who's done work for Hard Blush and Club Stripes and so forth, and that's going to be $25. It's going to be 68 pages full color porn, much of it straight, so we'll actually have some straight stuff for you guys. One of the ones I'm really excited about is we have an art book by Bonk, which this thing is huge. It's 148 pages full color magazine size. It's $40.
Shiny as fuck.
Yeah. Saverin got to take a look at it the other day. It's pretty damn cool.
I was like, damn.
Yeah. It's like 6 comics inside it of hardcore gay fucking, and then several galleries, which are clean, gay, straight, and herm. So basically, there's a little bit of everything in there. And especially if you like girly boys, then totally, you know. So, of course, I'll have one in my personal collection. Issue 3 of Leather Lad, which it's been a couple years, but you know, we're moving forward on that again, which is good, and picks up right where issue 2 left off with LL in the hands of Dr. Libido as the villain. Book 2 of Whomper, which collects the first 4 issues of volume 2. And then we move into the novels. We have Pigimoto All-Star Boarband, which you guys may remember on some of our podcast episodes where we talk about a bunch of different podcasts. We mentioned this one. Pigimoto is a patio book that was actually not full cast, but like, well, it could be full cast, but it had music and sound effects, several different people playing the parts and everything like that. It's quite a long-running series, and this is the novelization of the first major chapter of that. If you're a fan of pigs, which are kind of rare to find anthro pigs in furry, then I would totally check it out. It's by Nick McRae, who is actually a Texas local. Don't Go Near the Sorceress, which is a sexy fur title. And this is another straight one, where male antelope goes seeking female crocodile, who is a sorceress. Fucking ensues. I think he also screws a lion. I can't remember. I haven't finished that one yet. Fortune Teller's Poem is one that I'm really excited about. It's the old Monday's Child traditional poem, where Monday's Child is et cetera, et cetera, Tuesday's Child, and so forth. So it's 7 stories, 7 different authors. They each took a line of the poem and wrote a story about it. So now watch me completely fuck this up. I'll try to remember who the 7 of them in order is. Monday was written by Tyrion. Tuesday is Foosball. Wednesday is White Yote. Thursday is DJ Fall. Friday is Siani. Saturday is K.M. Harasaki. Sunday is Kyle Gold. And this whole idea was Siani's idea, and he kind of pitched it to me, and I was like, that sounds like a really neat idea, like the themed anthology idea. So
is it like along the lines of what you guys did with X?
Kinda, yeah. Like you have the idea for a theme, and it's something that you can break down easily into sections like that. Commandments, days, lines of a poem, whatever it is. And then you have an author take a different thing and try to write a story with their own spin around that.
What was it? Monday's Child is full of
grace, I think.
I know Wednesday is full of woe.
Yes, because I was born on a Wednesday.
Was it Thursday has far to go?
Yes.
Fridays. I used to know this by heart, and I knew it because of the damn Addams Family.
It's like Friday is, I think, loving and Friday, giving. Saturday works hard for a living, and Sunny is Bonnie Blythe and gay. And I don't remember the whole thing. Google Monday's Child poem. It's actually on Wikipedia.
There you go.
And it has the whole thing. Actually, fuck that. Go to my website. Go to fourplanet.com. Go to the new releases section.
And buy the book and you'll learn.
No, well, yeah, that. But I actually, I think I remembered to put the poem in the item description. I don't know why the fuck I'm trying to remember it on the air.
Because it's impressive if you can do it.
Oh, I know I can't, though. That's the thing. Because even you started like Monday and then jumped to Wednesday. And it's like,
I couldn't remember Tuesday at all. I mean, Tuesday's
child masturbates consistently. I don't know.
It's like Tuesday. Who cares about Tuesday? It's Tuesday.
Right. Three more items, real quick. Weasel presents Tales from Argaea by Kyle Gold. This is basically five of his Argaea universe short stories, which he originally released as an ebook on Kindle and Nook. And this is the print edition because enough fans wanted a print edition of the book. Has a beautiful cover by Sarah Palmer. Should fit in nicely with your other Argaea books. The Argaea series is the Vol series of books where Shadow of the Father was set. And we also have Naughty or Nice, which is by Jody Tong. It's known as Jet in the fandom, J3T. Mm-hmm. And basically she had done little sketches as Christmas cards for people on her Christmas card list, personal friends and so forth. And emailed them out every year. And this is a collection of those from 2007 to 2010. And the one that I don't have the image of here because the cover just got finished, that'd be the one book that we're making at home this year, is Jake's List by Taganar, which is just good gay porny goodness.
And that's A-okay.
It's hot Doberman and fox fucking. So, and the cover is by New Dog, so it's like big muscly guys with big dicks. So if you're into that, then there we go. And I'm sorry I don't have an image of that yet, but we'll have that up just as soon as it's all ready to go. So that's pretty much for Planet in a nutshell at Anthrocon. If you're going to go to Anthrocon, we got straight stuff, we got gay stuff, we got tech stories, we got comics, we got art galleries. We got flipping everything this year. So we're on row A on the wall. Come and see us.
All right. So, did you read that last one, Shiva, or did Fuzz?
Let me pull up my email program here.
I did.
Okay, it's my turn.
Yes.
Less than three. Dearest cast of knots.
Why do we always guess less than three? Why not less than five?
Because less than three is a heart, obviously. Dearest cast of the cast of knots.
Once you have the heart, you can form Captain Planet.
Will you let me fucking read the email? Jesus Christ.
Your turn to interrupt him next, Shiva.
Dearest cast of the cast of knots. Now that I've said it like three times. I just wanted to write in and let you all know that the show has often been close to my heart. I love that you help people, and I love all of you with your witty personalities, tangenteering, and banter crafting. I might not email in often, if at all, but even so, I appreciate your podcast very much. We've spent some good times together, and I've grown so very fond of you. Remember the good old days? What about the first 20 episodes? I'll always look back at them fondly. Even if you say you weren't as good as you are now, you really are too hard on yourselves, my dear. Saffron, you've got an adorable voice and the patience of a saint dealing with the likes of Fuzz, Recky, and Shiva.
Well, thank you very much for the compliment on my voice.
Not to mention At-Risk Panther's loving abuse and all the past cast members I miss so dearly. Fuzz, without your jokes, Knotcast would have never been. This email would not exist, nor all the good times the show and I have shared together. Recky, I don't have much to say to you. Shiva, stay. Okay. Shay L-shaped and feline, for one day we felines will rule the world. Wait, did I just type that out loud? Disregard. However, despite all this, I'm afraid it isn't working out. You see, there is another podcast. It's not you. It's me.
Are you crazy?
I have recently found my ears in the grips of another charming show. A young one with lots of spunk and attitude, and I find it hard to resist. I'm sorry. There's a snow leopard by the name of Flaw, and a wolf named Cade, and even a token black female named Arya, the Lynx. I do hope you understand, Notcast. I'll always love you. Sincerely yours, a podcast named Flaw. P.S.
A podcat named Flaw.
Podcat named Flaw. P.S. By the way, I'm clearly joking. Actually starting my own podcast called The Den. A simple iTunes search will find your way to it. Just look for the coyote. He's our mascot for now, sort of. You do a great show, and please keep it up. Less than three.
You're going to read the...
P.P.S. I bet Ricky hates me now, doesn't he?
Damn. He might if he was here, but...
Well, he would if he was here, but now he's just going to have to hate you by proxy because he's not on the show this week.
He's driving.
Yep. Well, that's cool. So, hey, I'm really kind of amused that our show has sort of become this sort of clearinghouse that, damn it, if I want my new project to fucking jump off the starting line, I should email into Notcast. Of course, by saying that, I'm inviting like a ton more, but I think it's cool that people recognize the fact that we do have a lot of listeners.
Yeah, but we're not going to read absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Because we might get, "Dear Notcast, I have started a new podcast called Nazi Fuzz. I wish to promote it on your show."
And we would go, "Nine."
Our URL is auschwitzpodcast.org.
So, hey, how about that email?
It's a gas.
Oh! Fired! You're fired!
A cast as a Doberman and a wiener dog and Hitler.
Don't forget the German Shepherd. Going back to dinner.
Yes. Woof. Recky's dog will leave him to do Nazi first.
Oh! You better be glad he's not here. He would like. Set you on fire.
Yeah.
The sheer raw amount of hate that would come off him.
You know, y'all are lucky that he's not here because he would have jumped out of that chair right there and beaten you to death with that mic stand.
Okay. Which is why it's safe to do it now. See, we can be taught.
We can, enough beating. We can learn.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, not true. So, is my turn now, I guess?
Yeah, you terrible person, you.
Excuse me. Okay. Roommate Troubles. Dear Princess Celeste, dear Casters of the Knot, I am writing not to share a funny story to delight you and your viewers, though I soon shall, but to ask for a little advice. My mate and I have been together for a little over 3 years now, since high school, and have been living in an apartment for a year now. A couple of our friends, one being an old friend from high school, or roommate A, for simplicity's sake, and another from college, roommate B, moved in with us last month. Roommate A was living at home with hateful Mormon parents and was having problems because of it. We let him move in, and he shares a room with roommate B. Things have been mostly okay, aside from B having days where he will yell at my mate and I for poking fun at one another, telling us to cut the passive-aggressive bullshit and whatnot. Nothing too bad, just a bit annoying. Roommate A was fine. He has a job at McDonald's, and this was his third week of work where he was supposed to work Monday and Friday. Well, here's where the trouble starts. B decided to go home last weekend on Sunday through Wednesday and invited A, who worked the next day. He called in sick and went anyway, skipping an 8-hour shift that day. After coming back Wednesday night, hopped up on caffeine and other shit, having not slept for the entire day and night prior, they stayed up through the night and passed out the next morning, where A updated his status to, ugh, work on Thursday. My mate and I also found out at that time he had paid for a PS3 for the house. Out of the $300 he had, $225 of which was rent.
Fail.
On Friday, after being up most of the night but having 5 hours sleep, I woke him for work. Moments later, I received a text saying he would just say that he set his alarm for the wrong time. He has not called them. And for only needing to work 2 days this entire week, has avoided it like the plague. All the money my mate and I had this month has covered rent, and I paid our utility bill out of pocket. They are friends, but we can't afford to have this go on, especially when I'm still up cleaning the house and doing laundry because they don't care enough to do their fair share. Any advice you can give on this situation would be greatly appreciated, and I am very sorry for the wall of text. Yours, Gunnison, Colorado listener, Marco Wolf.
Okay, as far as doing the laundry, don't. Let them have dirty-ass, grody shit. If it's clean towels, wash your towels, take them with you, keep them with you. Do not wash their clothes. As far as picking up their shit, well, there's only so much that you can put up with, so I understand. I've had roommates like that. It drives, yeah. And I've actually had roommates like what you're describing, where they would go and be generous and get an Xbox for that quote-unquote house. The thing is when they do this, when they buy something for the house, when they leave, it's suddenly theirs. They take it with them. So, in short, they may let you use it, but they're just investing in their own toys. They get to keep it in the long run.
Yeah.
You are going to have to lay down the law hard and fast that if they want to live there, they need to do their share. And you need it in cash, not in PS3s.
Yeah.
Because PS3s, unless they want you to give this to the landlord for rent, assuming your landlord would take it, they don't keep the house over their head. But yeah, you're going to have to lay down this line hard and fast.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, yeah, roommate A had some hateful Mormon parents and have some problems. Well, Broseph, you're living somewhere else and you've got to keep your fucking job, and buying a PS3 with your McDonald's money ain't it.
Mm-hmm.
Skipping work, I'm surprised he still has a job, honestly.
He had to work 2 days and he missed a day and a half of it? What the fuck? And I mean, you're lucky even getting hours at McDonald's.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of tolerance for that bullshit. Usually you miss a couple shifts that early on and you're gone.
Yeah.
3 weeks in, don't miss time.
I mean, roommate B hopefully is a bit more stable. I mean, B needs to figure out how you and your mate kind of interact. But beyond that, he seems like he's okay. But B should also probably not be tempting A to go skip work. Because mm-hmm. that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need to be the stick in the mud and do your responsibilities before going off and having gay adventures.
You know what? Somebody has to be the fucking adult. Exactly. You know? And unfortunately, in this situation, that's you. And I guess you need to kind of sit down and have a meeting, come to Jesus meeting, as we say, and be like, you know, look, guys, we can't carry the whole fucking apartment on our own, you know?
I had this roommate, and I'm going to keep his name anonymous because he's still in the fandom. We had to sit on him. When we all worked at the same place, it was a tech support company. We had to camp his ass. And the moment he got his paycheck, we had to basically pounce him, get the money off him, because if we let him out of his sight between whatever and home that day, he would go out, go to Walmart, buy video games. He loved going to some of the old computer junk shops. And he would bring home, like, ancient computer parts that he was trying to tinker with instead of paying us rent. So I've had to do the whole, this is your bill, pay it first. You don't get fun shit until you give me rent money, because I like keeping the house over my head. So I don't have a lot of tolerance for people who opt to buy fun shit over rent, because if they don't pay, somebody's got to pay, and that somebody is me. So, yeah. I've had to be the adult, and it pisses me the hell off.
Yeah, it's really sad that, I mean, you have to basically baby somebody like that and make sure that they live up to what should be responsibilities that are just sort of part of the deal of being over the age of 18 and having to take care of your shit.
Well, they said they've been together 3 years in high school, after high school. So, yeah, it's about the same age as you guys when I had to be the adult.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of sucks to kind of to have to play that role. You don't want to be an adult. You're trying to fight your own urge not to be a fuck up at that point. And yeah, that's a hard time to have to learn that lesson.
Mm-hmm. So, your turn to read the next one.
Oh my.
Let's see. My opinion of dating websites. Reading Notcasters. I listened to your show since the beginning and I absolutely adore it. Thank you for the useful advice and hefty amount of lols I receive each week. Let's see. Regarding the current week's topic, I'll start with the first, with a good. I think dating websites are an incredibly useful tool for meeting people that you otherwise wouldn't even know existed near your particular area, and opening yourself up to a whole new avenue of potential friends. I've met dozens of people using Pounce, and a handful of them have gone on to be very good friends. As for the bad, well, let's just say I sure wish Pounce had a creepy person filter. I firmly believe that you can't truly determine if you like someone based on what their personal ad might say, and unfortunately, sometimes you need to bite the bullet and attempt conversation before determining if another creepy furry will attempt to yiff you in the first conversation. In addition, I think it's ridiculous that dating websites such as eHarmony will attempt to match you on others based on your interests and lifestyle. Human beings are simply too complex to pair up based on a few questions asked you on a website. Next, what bugs me about stupid methods of sorting such as Pounced, having an option to sort ads by species. I believe you're somewhat sad and discriminating person socially if you refuse to talk to someone just because they have a Pokemon persona, for example.
Oh, well, if you don't have the soul of a dragon, you are unfit for my penis.
Finally, I dislike when people simply post ads to the effect of, I don't really know what to say here, but promise I'm a fun guy, lol, and expect responses. I'm sorry, but if you're willing to put enough effort into an ad to at least give the viewer even a fleeting idea of who you are, you shouldn't be using dating websites.
Wait, fun things? Okay.
In conclusion, dating websites are certainly useful and glad they exist. Even though my Pounced ad doesn't typically receive much traffic anymore, I'm glad the door is always open for another potential contract. When they're used correctly, they work great. The only irritations I have result from people simply being lazy and not truly taking advantage of a valuable resource. As for the answer to your bonus round, I believe the commonly accepted definition of hipster nowadays seems to be that they hate everything you love and love everything you hate. Whether or not you read this on air, thank you, and I'm looking forward to more laughs in the future. P.S., since I'm sure whoever reads this will probably mispronounce my name, I wanted to footnote.
The new delicious snack from the creators of Fig Newtons.
This is not voting well for pronouncing his name right. That my name is pronounced Evalus. Evalus the Espion. So I think he's been
he's one of them thar Pokemans.
Pokemans.
Wonder if he has the soul of a Pokemon.
I hope not. So anyway,
thank you, Sarah. That was amazing.
I'm sorry. I'm judgmental against Otaku-ken. You don't have the soul of Vash the Stampede. I'm sorry.
Someone that we read an email from just watched me on FA, which is kind of a funny coincidence. Oh, and also Dragonair just posted the first drawing I've seen from him in ages.
Oh, wow, that's really nice.
It's a very nice bunny with his cock out.
Well, of course, that would be porn.
It does look decent.
So there you go. All right. Boop-a-doo. Okay. So, did we really have anything to add on that one? I mean, it seems like a good...
No, it was pretty good.
Pretty good. And, I mean, we're gonna push it to 2 hours this week, guys. So, just for y'all, because it's been 2 weeks. And we should be able to plow through the last of these emails.
Yay!
And be actually have an empty inbox for once.
No.
Well, empty until we post the topic and get another, like, 30, 40 emails. So.
Yay!
Your turn, Saver.
Woohoo! Well, this is going to be topical. Hey, guys. I was going to write in for what was supposed to be the online dating episode, and now that it's become open topic and skipping a week, I'd still like to throw in my story, since it's one of the relatively few Pounce successes, period. I had been divorced for a while, but my ex and I are still good friends to this day. It was finding the furry fandom that actually brought me out of that slump. That's for another day and involves the infamous CSI episode. When I was finally ready to start looking again, I put up a pound stab but didn't really plan on much. I wasn't even looking, per se. More like throw the hook out and see if anything bites. In the end, I had mentioned that I needed someone willing to accept the ongoing friendship with my ex and not be jealous. Pretty much everyone I talked to was surprised to hear about that, and that's how my current mate found me. She contacted me through the idea of me being able to go through something like a divorce and actually have a positive outcome said a lot about my character. We didn't do much but chat for a while, almost drifting apart and just being acquaintances until I was getting ready to clean out some rarely seen people from my friends list. Before moving her, we got to talking again to see if we wanted to keep chatting. One thing led to another, and I found out just how kinky she is, and started a master pet RP both online and on the phone. During this time, I had dated someone else I knew for a while, and even converted to a furry, but the girl from Pound started voicing having real feelings for me. We were all okay with things, but the other girl and I had a falling out. This had nothing to do with my pet. Our personalities clashed, we just cut it before completely ruining our friendship, and that's when my pet officially became my mate. Aww. We've been together a few years now and have two kids together. I said kids, not kits. You double furry. There were some other tangents to the story, one involving another person that tried to cause issues between my mate and I, but I'll just leave it that we're all living happily ever after for the most part. Now, I have an actual question for you guys. I brought up by a reference to a certain pony on another certain podcast by a certain notcast host pulling double duty. We all know that a rainbow was one of the symbols for being gay. For the longest time, I was under the impression that actual gay rainbow had the colors reversed from a real rainbow, i.e. red on the bottom inside of the arc instead of top outside. I've also heard people say that the regular rainbow is the gay symbol. What are your thoughts on this? Does the color order make a difference?
Yeah. There is apparently an actual official, I guess, because the gay rainbow has six colors in it, and typically when you just see a rainbow, a lot of times it has more than that, because it has the seven colors of the artistic color spectrum. But the gay rainbow has the six, and they're supposed to always be in the same order. Roy G. Biv.
Yes. Honestly, that's something I've never actually paid attention to. It's a rainbow. Rainbows are cool.
Yeah.
Just don't go overboard.
It's a sonic rainbow.
Now, if your hair and...
What's the color?
If your mane and tail is legitimately rainbowed...
Did you get indigo?
No, I just blue.
I was going to say, now, if your mane and tail are normally rainbow, that's just how Celestia made you. But... You know, don't go too overboard with them. Sending a truckload of doorknobs at the cast in a full-bodied hockey goalie uniform, including a stick to swat the knobs away. Nari Mooncat. Don't worry, everyone messes it up.
Well, no idea if you got it right or not, then.
Yeah. Rhymes with party. Nari? Party? Mooncat? Doesn't rhyme with party at all. I don't know, I'm so confused.
Nari body. I don't know.
Don't know.
Maybe she's like Pinkie Pie. Everything rhymes with party.
I mean, that's rainbow is a gay symbol. I don't know.
I just really like rainbows. Oh, so funny story was a new guy was a former coworker of mine back like two or three jobs ago, and he had moved. Away from Tennessee, and he had a friend of his that was visiting from out of state, and they were visiting for the day the more liberal part of Tennessee. Apparently East Tennessee over by the mountains is a little more liberal than the middle of the country. So of course, you know, you see the occasional car with like a rainbow symbol, well, you know, a gay pride symbol on it, and his friend is like, wow, why do you guys have so many Hawaiians here? Because the Hawaiian driver's license and driver's plate has a rainbow on it. Then he had to explain to his friend that they're not Hawaiians. They're homosexuals. So, Sarah, you're researching gay pride there.
I am indeed.
Here's a quick gay... by the way, guys, June is officially Gay Pride Month by... proclamation of the president, which usually happens every year. Do you guys know where the pink triangle came from?
Nazi Germany, isn't it?
Ah, yes, we have a winner. Just pop
what
quiz.
What did I win?
Absolutely nothing. Yeah, pop quiz. Yeah, because this conversation came up in an argument on FA the other day, and someone was asking why Jews don't hate homosexuals, because the Jews go mostly by the Torah is very heavily steeped in the Old Testament in the Bible, and my theory was that it was sort of a bonding together with another hated minority, because in the camps the Jews had to wear the Star of David, and all the gay men were marked with a pink triangle. So the Nazis rounded up homosexuals as well as Jews, gypsies, and anyone else that was seen as a dissident. And lesbians had another symbol for them, but I don't remember exactly what it was. I think it was like a black square or something like that.
Let's see. Use in concentration camps. I fucking love Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Just saying. I'm not seeing anything regarding... Well, it's like there was like the combos. It's like you could be a gay Jew something, you know? It's like there's a political dissident with a red triangle, something that's green, immigrants were blue, something maroon, homosexual is pink. Then you have like dissidents and stuff, and then there was like combos and shit. Fucking crazy Nazis.
Yeah, they actually had classifications like that for everyone that they hated.
That's... Yeah, they had like a grid. It's crazy. But anyways, the reason the rainbow flag is its color, sixth color version, is because, well, the six colors is a standard rainbow flag, or the commonly available rainbow fabric. Originally, it was pink, red, orange, yellow, green, turquoise, indigo, and violet. But getting the first and last of those two colors is kind of a bitch and expensive. And so the original flag company that was making them basically was like, well, we're going to go sixth color to make them affordable. And that's how the gay rights flag was made.
Here's another pop quiz. Do you know why Gay Pride Month is in June?
No.
It is because of the anniversary of the Stonewall Riots.
Oh, that's right.
Where June of 1969.
Ah, yes. Where Fort Worth decided to punch some gays.
No. That was the recent.
Yes, I was going to say where 40 years.
Right. That was the anniversary of the Stonewall Riots. Yeah. The original riot was up in New York, I believe, in the Greenwich Village area, something like that.
At least those guys in Fort Worth lost their jobs, and there was like major political fallout for it.
Yeah. You know, if I think everyone should know a little bit about their history, and This is a good time to read up on some gay history. There's actually a gay history section in Wikipedia, which I think is probably linked to the pages you were looking at. And, you know, one thing, if you think we got it bad now, you should read about shit that went down 40, 50 years ago. Nothing. In comparison. We've come a long way.
There's also places in the world where it's still a death sentence.
Yeah.
To be gay.
Not saying give up or suck it up and accept it, but... just know that we have made great strides in the equal rights battle. And I think that the speed at which it's moving along means we're going to be getting full equality probably, you know, I'm sure within my lifetime. And I would hope, sooner.
I would.
Yeah. But, it's inspiring and depressing and a bit motivating to read up on gay history.
Yeah.
Whose turn is it to read?
Yours.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So that was Roommate Troubles we just read. That was
For All Your Hard Work is the email we're on.
Okay, alright. For all of you hard work. With a world full of crazies and suit-wearing men in dark glasses waiting to take us away because we sneezed the wrong way, we need a break from the moral fiber constantly shoved down our thrats day after day. For that, we have Notcast. Thank you all for your podcast. Now for the examination. Thank you for the great advice, because even though I'm not gay, this friendship, which you suggested I try to form, is turning out to be one of the best friendships I've ever had. I'm thanking you for continuous laughs and giggles on my way to school and to work. I also wish to say that in hindsight, I would have said in my last email, I should have asked for Fuzz not to read it, then the joke would have worked. And another thing, congratulations for getting me addicted to Doctor Who, no problem here, and My Little Pony. Why me? Sincerely, your Northern comrade, Sandfire. P.S. Last email should have included a disclaimer. So that's, I guess that's two emails in a row he's written in that I've read, just by complete random chance. That's kind of funny.
Let's see.
Cool, but thank you for writing in.
Next one. Open topic, bitches.
Yeah!
Ooh, that was loud.
Luckily, we have Equalizer.
I can hit those high notes!
Another week, another session of Drunken and Frat Boy Zoophile cast. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm fine.
So I figured this week, with an open topic, I would write in about something that concerns me greatly. What concerns me is that lately, despite all my efforts to the contrary, homophobia still seems to be publicly acceptable. Take, for instance, Harold Camping. He's a May 21st guy. He blamed the end of humanity on gay rights and marriage, and I heard no one call him on his bullshit. People called him on the end of the world bullshit, but not his blatant homophobia. Well, okay, end of the world bit. I inserted bullshit, because it is. I mean, everywhere you go, there seems to be an allowance for homophobia. It's completely acceptable to say you're disgusted by gay marriage. Now imagine the same statement about interracial marriage. You'd be crucified, and rightly so, I might add. Yet when it comes to homosexuals, people are allowed to openly voice disgust, with the exception of a few, Rick Santorum. It's allowed, and even still, it took a gay man to bring him some kind of justice. I understand free speech, but where do opinions on the sanctity of marriage become subtle homophobia? Just had to get a roar out of my system. Thanks, guys. Lots of love, Jeffrey Wolf. P.S. To the guy with a crazy mother, you have a legal right to your stuff and can get a police escort to assist you in obtaining it. Also, if she calls the police on you for trying to get your stuff, nothing can happen to you. At worst, it's a trespassing fine, which I'm sure any reasonable judge will simply dismiss, if she's as much of a bitch as you say. Best of luck.
Okay.
If nothing else, you can call and ask the police. You know, mm-hmm. Do it nicely, do it politely, ask what's allowed, and they'll tell you.
So, regarding the homophobia issue, Harold Camping, first of all, is a dumb old fuck who's been wrong about the end of the world three times and recently had a stroke. So his shit's thoroughly slapped.
When did he have the stroke?
A couple weeks ago.
After the 21st?
After the 21st.
Hallelujah.
His world is ending soon enough.
So he was, you know, partly right.
I think the fact that people are discussing it nowadays is progress. It is progress because people have been, we've been at the gay rights thing since 79. Or was it 69? 69. And it's taken, but it took about that long for interracial marriage, Loving versus Virginia, to be even marginally accepted. Unfortunately, the United States has a very long history of being the last when it comes to social change. If you go back through our history, we were the last to abolish a lot of things.
Mm.
And among the last to give women the right to vote, among last, you know, in the modern West. So it's not a trend that we've bucked, unfortunately.
We had slavery well after Britain abolished it.
But the fact that it is discussed instead of just tacitly accepted is a sign of progress. The fact that the same old bullshit talking points aren't nearly as effective as they used to be. And, you know, we're on the verge of passage of marriage equality in New York. And that will bring 10% of the country, 10% of the population of the country being able to gay marry. And once you're past a certain threshold point, the you know, people are going to look at that and be like, the fuck, why, you know, New York hasn't fallen into the ocean, Maryland hasn't fallen into the ocean.
Massachusetts,
yeah. You know, Vermont had civil unions way the back the fuck when.
Mm-hmm.
Canada hasn't been smote.
Maine's been kind of...
Well, Maine got fucked
by fucking bigots. But they at least... They were trying for it.
You know, America has a dumb puritanical streak that is fading. Your generation, because I'm going to guess you're fairly young, a lot of our listeners.
Or our generation or younger.
Our generation or younger. I mean, I'll be 28 in 2 weeks.
Okay, so you're old meme then, I guess.
Birthday Foxy.
Hey, I've got like 2 more years till I'm a grandma's, all right? But isn't that the case?
Fuck you.
Yeah. Well, see, that was acceptable back when the fandom was new. And
like I said, when I was your age, I was 27 too.
But more often than not, the people that say the hateful homophobic things get called out on it. Especially in the media, especially online. You know, these tired old fat men in dresses with a pedophile problem, also known as the Catholic Church, has lost most of its authority to a lot of people. Oh, yeah, they'll look the Catholics. Do as I say and not as I do, right? And, you know, a lot of their shit they say, their tactic now is basically holding children hostage by threatening to withdraw adoption services. But you know what? In Illinois, I think it was Illinois, one of the states where recently they've expanded gay rights, the Catholics didn't want to do it. They're like, fine, we'll give all of our state money to somebody else.
I think it was the Chicago Diocese. You might be right about that.
Or it was like, oh, well, go to hell. We'll get somebody else to do it.
Mm-hmm. On that, the Home Depot recently was basically the directors of NOM, the National Organization for Marriage, or one of those family quote-unquote fucking organizations, had basically come into Home Depot and talked to the CEO or the directors at a meeting or whatever, and had been like, we're going to boycott Home Depot unless you retract any of the rights you've given, like same-sex partner benefits and basically reaching out to the gay community. And the Home Depot, in I'm sure a purely business motivated decision, know that fags decorate their houses 3 times more than straight people do. Basically told them to fuck off. And you know, that's the kind of thing that it wouldn't have been like that 30 years ago, you know? Yeah.
Slowly but surely, it's gonna... I mean, it took till 2003 for butt sex to not land you in jail.
2004, I thought.
It's just...
So I remember when it happened.
It was very recent.
Yeah, well, it was right before I moved here.
Yeah, so... And
while ironically the interracial marriage was legalized with Loving versus Virginia... This was legalized by sodomy versus Texas.
Yes.
Okay, no, it wasn't. It was Lawrence v. Texas. All right.
Yes.
But still,
that joke fell completely flat.
It was a very pivotal thing, but it was also very recent. You know, slowly but surely, we're clawing our way out of the dark ages. And, you know, I can only hope that eventually we will be able to throw off the yoke of the religious bullshit that has contaminated our government. And get some fucking logic up in this bitch. That gay people are not going to cause meteors to come out of the sky. It's not going to poison your cattle, ruin the land, or cause whatever sky deity you believe in to stick his dick in the middle of our country.
And stir.
And stir.
How do you think the Grand Canyon got there? God shot a load, fucking carved out half the landscape.
But, you know, take heart. The generation that's coming... And the generation that's, you know, and they're coming 20 now, majority of them are pro-gay. The people our age are pro-gay. It's slowly creeping up there, the people as they reach in their 40s and stuff. And all the old homophobes who were around in the 50s, you know, lynching niggers and killing them queers, they're dying of old age. And I hope a lot more of them start doing it soon.
The end.
The end. Dear Princess Celestia, today I really poured out some hate on some homophobes. I hope you understand. You're still...
somebody had tweeted, and that's why I felt it was justified to blow up their heads with my unicorn powers.
Yeah.
You're a faithful student, Twilight Sparkle.
So, I wanted to give some props. We give Republicans a lot of shit on the show.
Oh, yes.
And there's been a lot of shakeups in New York. But Senator Roy McDonald of New York gave a seriously awesome quote today, and I wanted to you know, it's just really rocked. He was giving a press conference and he released a statement to the press. And he said, "You get to the point where you evolve in your life where everything isn't black and white, good and bad, and you try to do the right thing," McDonald 64 told reporters. "You might not like that. You might be very cynical about that. Well, fuck it. I don't care what you think. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm tired of Republican-Democrat politics. They can take the job and shove it. I come up from a blue-collar background. I'm trying to do the right thing, and that's where I'm going with this." Way to go, man. Thank you.
So as of 3 hours ago, the LA Times reported New York is one vote away from legalizing gay marriage.
You know, that's... But yeah, that was... I love that. It's great to have that come out of the conservative party.
I have temporarily mixed up who is who, but like the governor of New York State and the mayor of New York City are from different political parties. One's a Democrat, one's a Republican. Mm-hmm. And they both went up to the state assembly and basically did their pitch to get them to approve gay marriage. They're both in agreement about this, which is actually, no, the one that was a Republican is now an independent, and he was a Democrat for that. But anyway, you get the point that, you know, there's actually been several Republican senators and politicians in New York that have actually said, and they're right about this, the Republican Party is supposed to stand for small government, limited, you know, controlling of citizens' lives and no privacy violations and shit like that, apart from all the fiscal conservatism. And their point was the party should stand on not controlling who can marry and who can't, and not infringing on the lives of private citizens like that. And so it's just the Republican Party needs to stop listening to their radical Christian conservatives in their party and look at their actual platform. What the party is supposed to believe in is not controlling, you know, putting laws in place that control citizens' lives. People should be able to marry who they want to marry. And, you know, it's nice to see a couple of Republicans actually come to their fucking senses and say that. And, you know, right now, like I said, we're one vote shy in New York. So we can just cross our fingers and hope that a couple days after this episode is posted, we have marriage equality in the state of New York.
You know, it's one of those things that this is my cynicism coming in. A lot of these fuckers see the writing on the wall.
And they're saving their asses.
Pretty much.
What was that thing about Roe versus, not Roe versus Wade, that's something else entirely. Prop 8, something...
The fuckers that basically put it on the ballot were trying to get it invalidated. Judge Vaughn Walker's decision invalidated because he is gay.
He retired recently and finally publicly admitted that he's been gay and he's been in a committed relationship for over 10 years.
And the basically Christian conservatives are like, oh my god, ooga booga, this gay man fooled on a gay thing because he wants to get gay married. How terrible. And the appeals court said, go to hell.
Yeah.
That's like saying any...
It's like he basically he ruled justly on an unjust thing.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter who he is, go to hell.
Because, I mean, you know, that would be saying that only...
Someone who likes chicken doesn't have the right to say anything about chicken.
Sure.
Yeah, only gay judges need to rule on gay cases, and straight judges rule on straight marriage cases, and that's just silly. It was also pointed out that because they're talking about he would stand to benefit from this decision, being a gay man, if that was the case, if he was really hardcore about wanting to marry his partner, he would have done it in 2008 during the few month gap in California law when it was actually legal. So he didn't. So he's pretty neutral on that. He ruled the way, you know, he ruled the legal way that those idiots don't have a fucking standing on this. So shut the fuck up.
Okay, so, wow.
How many email do we have left?
There's, like, 4. And we can blow through them. It's just we had a bit of a tangent on this one. Well, whose turn is it, by the way?
Someone brought up gay rights, and that just kind of opened the floodgates.
Oh, yeah. I think I read the last one.
Okay.
Let's see.
Well, let's knock these out and get done, because it is 11:15 at night.
Okay.
Okay, what are people really chasing? Hello, Notcast. Great show. Been listening to you guys when you guys first posted up about it on Lone Star First. Whatever happened to the doorknob? Did Panther go on holiday? We had doorknobs a couple episodes ago. Let's see. One thing I've noticed on the show is people asking for advice about relationships that don't seem to be working out. One thing I never got is what people are looking for. Advice is given to these people, but they rarely say what it is they want from a relationship. Where I'm going is that don't people want different things out of a relationship? So how to keep different types of relationship change as well? Okay. I never quite understood why people, both fur and non, will seek help from others, but rarely say what they want. All that is said is things that aren't right, not really what they want, or if they do, it's vague. Example, someone to spend my life with. What kind of answer is that? Really, you can complete that goal with a simple friend, so why the relationship? I got on this thought when I was looking at my own relationship. My wolf and I screw and hang out. He has his things and I have mine. We're really happy with it, just that. Some might say that's just a relationship held together only by if, but what if it is? There seems to be this idea that everyone has to think they think all relationships should meet. However, there's a problem with it. People are assuming that everyone keeps the same idea, so it's rarely voiced. I believe as everyone went in detail what kind of relationship each one wanted, they will be all over the place. I'm sorry, some of this is not parsed real well. It's not just my fail at talking. Well, I mean, it's there too, but...
He does say he's hungover, so...
Many fail, and why advice works for some and not others. A hungover fox, anonymous. Okay, well...
Well, if that's how your relationship works, then it works for you. Good job.
I can see what he said, what he's saying. I mean, if people kind of spoke up more about what they wanted and needed,
yeah,
it might work out a little bit better.
Yeah, it certainly does help to have, like, well, you know, I want us to have dinner together. I want us to spend time. I want us to have at least some mutual interests. You know, I want you to spend time with our friends. You know, stuff like that. That's perfectly reasonable and acceptable. And, you know, whatever works for you. But I would say don't be afraid to say what you really want. Tell you what you want.
Okay.
Boys, we don't watch. No, okay. Anyways, next email. Hey. Oh, man.
It's a small wall. It's more like...
Oh, no, I'm just looking at the name. The email name. Superfly. Anyways, dear Notcast, in my experience, I have mixed feelings towards dating sites. I have had a lot of good and bad encounters from meeting people there. When I was 14, I had just recently found the furry fandom. And wanting to find more people in my area with similar interests, I set up an account on Pounce.org. Seat over there, prepared. I set up an...
interest was 14-year-olds.
Yes. Within a week...
Also Catholicism.
Within a week, I'd gotten 2 responses. The first was a man in his mid-30s. He explained to me there was a rather large group of furs in my area who met on a semi-regular basis. In the meantime, they had an IRC channel set up and talked to one another. After attending a fur meet or two, I began to go on the channel more often. This is where I met my first boyfriend, with quotation marks. He was almost twice my age at the time, somewhat charming and not hard to look at. He lived in another town 2 hours east of the city, so when he was in town, we would meet up, spend quality time together, and fuck like dogs in heat.
He was 14.
At the same time, he started to date one of my good friends who happened to be fur as well, but there was never any bad blood between us, but he continued to hang out as normal. Though my boyfriend tended to favor him, they broke up after a couple months, and I dealt with most of the backlash. This eventually ended in him moving to the States, him visiting less and less. I got to see him every 4 months if I was lucky, becoming more possessive of me, being interested in other men, yet having other relationships on the side. And eventually got to the point where I tried to break things off, but just kept getting pulled back in. He was starting to scare me, so I did something I've regretted for years. I slept with the one person he would never touch, and in a fit of anger and jealousy, he broke up with me. I loved him at the time, but looking back on things, the relationship was extremely unhealthy, and I'm glad I managed to get out of it. I'm really glad you realized that, honestly. The second response I got was from a fox a few years older than me. We went to a couple fur meets together and became good friends, and I can probably guess that, yes, this is the friend I mentioned earlier. After the breakup, we continued to hang out sporadically, but still found time every once in a while to see each other. In the past year and a half, we saw each other more steadily, and I consider him and his mate two of my best friends. Though spending every weekend at their place and meeting the many furs that they were friends with, I was introduced to my current boyfriend. I've never felt this way about anyone in the past, and for once in my life, I feel like I've found someone I can love and trust with anything. My experience with dating sites has been a rocky one, but if I never made that account, I would never have found the friends I hold so dearly to this day. Sincerely, Alex the Alaskan Malamute. Yay. Well, hey, that first story, goodness me, I have the vapors.
Oh, dear.
Well, it was like the first response was a guy in his mid-30s. It's like, oh, dear. Oh. But no, all he did was tell him about the resources, and that was okay.
Yeah, yeah. Which is fine.
Then the 28-year-old that you fucked like crazy with. Oh.
That could have gotten that guy in so much trouble. Kids, be careful.
Yeah. Don't fuck kids. Older people. Okay. Felicitations, not castadores. Oh, and the subject line is dating sites and hipsters. Oh my god. Pardon me.
Dude. That was loud.
Oh man, loud I as got
fuck.
I used like that was like theater like projection right there. I'm glad you have those new earbuds, Savern.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
I wanted you to taste my dinner.
Yeah, I've got some
like, in your ears.
I just Panther was actually really nice and purchased me a set of like $70 headphones, in-ear monitors, so I can better hear the podcast. The thing is, they are in-ear monitors, and he just belted really loud in my head.
It's like I'm inside your head.
Oh my god.
Like Pinkie Pie. Dating sites. Whoa, do I have a history with those. Before I got together with my lovely tiger, I had listened to a friend telling me to use Craigslist. I have nothing against people who use Craigslist, but if you use it, you often get the nyeh of the dating pool. The first time I looked on Craigslist for anybody seeking men, I take a glance at a few ads and notice some really odd people. Let's just say creepy, unique people. I never used it again due to the fear of being e-stalked. I would then look into Pounced, which is where I found my mate. At the time, I wasn't looking for a mate, only a furry to hang out with. Either gender was fine, but several people who looked at my ad interpreted I meant I wanted a yiff with somebody. Endless messages followed with the stereotypical, "You looking for some fun?" or "Want to have a good time?" I also gave up on Pounced until I found him, my little kitty. He was looking for a relationship big time, but he sent me a message saying that he lived close by. He was only 27 miles away from my apartment. We would ask each other questions about ourselves before we met, setting up a meeting time at a local bookstore in the mall. Good plan. That was the best day of my life. We'd see a movie, get a few video games at GameStop, and eat at Golden Corral for dinner. To the guy that was asking earlier about advice for a good date, this is a decent start right here.
I'm not sure if I'd choose Golden Corral, but hey.
Okay. After we met in person, we hung around for a few months playing video games, sharing our secrets, a bunch of nerdy stuff. Then I realized I loved him, blah, 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 we're mates. No more lovey-dovey talk. That is basically my experience with dating sites. Also, they have commercials for Christian-only dating sites. Lol, 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 lol. Interestingly enough, they actually got sued the fuck out of. Now they have to have both hetero and homo
options
on the on eHarmony, I believe the site was.
And well, that's the thing. There's actually quite a few competing ones.
Mm-hmm. Now about hipsters. Well, like Fuzz said last episode, they fucking hate the mainstream stuff. It's not independent or unique or underground. They either don't acknowledge it or just shit on it.
just like my dad. My mom was cool, though. She liked mainstream. I was going to say, my dad liked my mom until she got too popular and Eddie shit on her.
Oh.
She liked everything, no matter how popular it was. I've had good memories in the past with her, especially when she took me to a Depeche Mode concert when I was 16. Sucks that she's dead, but she was no hipster. Hey, what a downer way to end your email there, buddy.
Well, I'm sensing the past tense. It's like he's using past tense.
Yeah. Okay, I can do that. Now for my off-topic gamer nerd segment. COD, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3.
You know what that stood for?
I actually do. Well, you know, it used to mean cash on delivery, but now I know it means Call of Duty.
You have been edumacated.
Yes, Halo 4, Skyrim. So I haven't heard of Skyrim before. I mean, I've heard of Halo at least.
Skyrim is the next Elder Scrolls game. It's a first-person RPG type game.
Okay, bored now. So many new games and stuff. What are you excited about that was revealed at E3 or on the interwebs? Sorry if I ask gaming questions often on my emails. I just like getting opinions from other furs like yourselves. From your full of words, Fennec Rikosaki. Well, I actually, you know, I'm not a gamer, but I'm not going to buy it because I have no need of it. But I'm actually fascinated by the new shit that Nintendo is doing with the tablet, controller crossover. It's like a Wiimote and an iPad fucked, and this was the result.
Yep.
It's really kind of a cool idea.
I'll be honest and say that I didn't really see a ton at this year's E3 that made me go, ooh.
Fucking hipster.
You know, there's some new stuff for the 3DS, which is pretty cool, mm-hmm. except the 3DS makes my eyes hurt. So I'm not going to get one.
Question for you. Can you turn off the 3D mode?
You can turn off the 3D mode and defeat the whole, like, point of the machine.
Well, isn't it like a hardware upgrade from the previous one?
It is. I mean, it's just one of those that, like, it pains me, both emotionally and literally physically, that I can't use the awesome 3D effect without my eyes hurting.
I was amazed by that. Sero actually loaned me his. He put the little card on the table.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. it is cool as fuck, but I can't rock it yet?
I haven't really seen it work. I mean, somebody held up the screen for me across the room, and I was like...
If you get a chance, it's not a video game. You take like this card, like a playing card, you put it on the table, and you aim it, the camera's at it, and it actually looks like stuff is coming up out of the table and interacting. And it kind of tracks it based on the camera's tracking the card on the table.
Yeah.
And it's actually a really clever little technology if it doesn't make your eyes hurt.
There was actually a video of somebody using basically manufacturing a giant version of this AR card and making it so that the Mii appeared to be like 3 or 4 stories tall.
Okay.
Because he got it far enough away and got enough perspective that it, cool. But the Wii U. Or the Nintendo Couch Goblin, as I dubbed it. Doesn't matter. It's going to be neat. And my body is ready for a new Nintendo console. I'm not thrilled with the Kinect.
So what's the Kinect doing?
The Kinect is the camera thing.
I know what it is. What's it changing in the... whatever to bring it out.
Lots of woggling without anything to woggle. There's a couple dance games. There's a couple things. Like, there's a Star Wars game where you have to wave your arms around like a madman and jump around, literally, to do shit.
You have to do the creep.
Yeah. There's... Mass Effect 3 is coming out, and I'm going to buy the shit out of the Collector's Edition when that comes out. But I already knew that was coming. So, honestly, this year's E3 didn't have a lot that was brand new to my eyes. That made me go, oh my god, I must look into that. I mean, there's stuff on the horizon that people have been talking about that they showed off more of, but nothing really anything new.
But not that the like big
Assassin's
reveal.
Assassin's Creed Revelations looks cool as shit, and the trailer for it was awesome. But
that wasn't announced at E3, though.
It's one of those things that they showed trailers at E3, but it wasn't announced there. Yeah, now that I think about it, I mean, I paid attention to this stuff, and I just didn't see anything that, like, grabbed me. Because all of Microsoft's stuff was, look at us, we've got Kinect. Sony's was, we're so sorry. So sorry. By the way, yeah, we have 3D.
Speaking of sorry, so sorry. Goddamn, Doctor Who.
Well, yeah, that was a what the fuck. But we'll discuss that on Whofers, which is not my show.
Okay.
Have y'all just recorded that episode?
No, the last one we recorded was the first part of the Flesh two-parter, the Rebel Flesh.
So y'all are
because after that, like, we had Buck moved in, and we had something else happen that kind of, like, I had medical issues to take care of, and we just haven't recorded in a couple weeks. So now that we're on the show is on a mid-season break. Teal and I are going to get together and probably do an episode that covers episodes 6 and 7 of this season, and then we'll probably discuss some of the news and developments that have come out after mid-series break.
Those last three episodes were fucking awesome. People may have, like, spooched themselves over the Neil episode. Mm-hmm. I thought it was okay, but these last three have been really good.
It was certainly interesting stuff, and Moffat has not moved away from his nightmare fuel.
No, not at all.
Which is good. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, E3, meh. Mm. I mean, everything I saw was stuff I'd already seen. The Wii U looks neat, but again, it's one of those things that's so far out in development that they say it's coming, like, holiday 2012.
So, oh, really? Okay, I didn't know what the time frame.
Yeah, so it'll be out for Christmas next year.
So they have a working prototype, basically, and they're just like, this is what it can do?
And they're actually going with a more, you know, they're running with a similar architecture to that of a 360. Just, you know,
yeah, I heard it was a lot more robust in terms of hardware, the actual new Wii.
Yeah, but it's also, like, 3 or 4 generations newer and has, like, more megahertz and kilobytes and teraflops. You know, I don't know the exact specifics. Teraflops. Yeah.
Right.
You know, I'm a gamer, but I'm a bit of a Luddite when it comes to the actual, like, internal specifications. So It's newer and shinier. That's what matters.
And therefore better.
More bitterer.
Yes. I like, Tyrion actually pointed out that this was cool, that the kids will be able to play the Wii on the actual controller, and the screen shows up there, which means that parents can sit and watch TV, and their kid can sit in the living room and play the Wii and not have the video game on the TV set. So if you're wanting to kind of keep an eye on your kid and not send them to the back room where the TV with the video games are, you know, that actually kind of helps keep the family together. And I was like, okay, that's a neat idea. It's also not the touch screen. It's not the capacitive. It's the kind with the stylus. So a couple of my friends are talking about they're looking at it as a possible art tablet because you can actually draw on it. And apparently some of the demos that they showed at E3 was actually some sort of sketching application. So for furry artists that are also gamers, you know, that might be a possibility. I can totally see somebody writing some kind of app that you could install on it and make it into a real tablet machine for, you know, probably not too much money. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So one email left.
Final email. On topic email. Dear Casters of Notes, after reading this week's topic, I felt I would give my opinion. I believe that sites like Pounce.org are good for finding like-minded people that happen to be looking for love, and are also a way of finding some people that turned out to be really amazing friends. I found my last two boyfriends on Pounce and a few local furs in my area. But, to be fair, no one said that furries had to only use dating sites. Furry dating sites, okay. I've tried non-fandom dating sites and met a couple of people, but found it easier to meet people when you already have something in common. Well, that about does it for this rant. Thanks for your time. The Black and Green Wolf from Kentucky, Ryza. So short, sweet, to the point, and I think wraps up pretty much everything everybody has said.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We read so many emails this week, and honestly, guys, our bodies were not ready. Especially considering the fact that the first half of the show is an hour, the back half is an hour and a half.
Woohoo!
We are crazy.
Do you have a topic?
No.
Okay.
This is one of those, wow, shit, we read all those emails.
Well, we didn't get a lot of awkward ones that needed to be.
Yeah, it was good, though. We, you know, we got plenty of participation on the topic. We got people who, you know, had good stories, bad stories, and then we had everything else, so it was all good. Mm-hmm. We got we plugged some stuff. I mean, this was a very productive episode and probably the longest we've produced in a very long time.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to plug some stuff because I just realized I should totally say this now. I won't be on next week because next Thursday is the Thursday of Anthrocon. So, yeah, Anthrocon is that fucking close. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, so, no. This is bad.
So yeah, if you're going to AC, come by and see me. You know, I'll be there. My team behind the table will be me, Tieran, Zia, Siani, and Buck.
You should totally go to the Brony meetup at AC.
Yeah, there's like a... Also, Aura Mosier, however you pronounce that, is also having like another Brony pony party thing. But yeah, I should totally go to the Brony meet. It's like 4 o'clock on, I think, I want to say like Saturday. Yeah. I'm not sure.
I bet you'll have enough help behind the table.
Yeah, but AC has their schedule online, so if you're going to Anthrocon, you could totally go check that out, and I guess the Brony meet will be on there.
Maybe.
Hopefully. But yeah, if you're going to AC, totally come by and see me. You know, I'd like you to buy shit, but you don't have to. If you just want to stop by and say hi and, you know, tell me you're a listener or whatever, that'd be cool. Meet people, whatever.
Yep. So, thus concludes an epically long episode of Notcast. If you've gotten this far, congratulations. You win the prize. On that note, good night.
And big balls.